This is PFW in Progress.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, it is the distinct pleasure of the management to present to you the Evening Star Attraction. Here they are, back after their exclusive 3-year tour of Europe, Scandinavia, and the subcontinent. Won't you welcome
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Who wants an orange whip? Orange whip? Orange whip? 3 orange whips.
Paul Perillo.
Got any fried chicken?
Best damn chicken in the state.
Bring me 4 fried chickens and a Coke.
You want chicken wings or chicken legs?
4 fried chickens and a Coke.
And some dry white toast, please.
And Andy. And Andy?
It wasn't my fault, honest. I ran out of gas. I had a flat tire. I didn't have enough money for cab fare. My tush didn't come back from the cleaners. An old friend came in from out of town. Someone stole my car.
Andy Hartz.
There was an earthquake. A terrible flood. Locust. It wasn't my fault. I swear to God.
Some guy named Tom.
Are you the police?
No, ma'am. We're musicians. We're on a mission from God.
And you never know. Lori might stop by.
Well, how? What can I get you boys? You thirsty? You hungry? Or you just driving through? Maybe like a beer or something a little harder?
No, thank you, ma'am. We may be sucking back a few beers a little later on. We'll be here all night. You see, we're the band.
PFW in Progress.
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
PFW in Progress here. Gillette Stadium on a bye week Thursday, and a very lively group for you today with Andy Hart, Tom Casale, Paul Perillo. I'll tell you, I've seen, I haven't seen very many bunches this lifeless in my day, but this is a lifeless crew that we have for PFW in Progress.
What
is
do you want?
The problem?
We got no food.
We got no food, so we have no life.
Problem's clear.
That is true.
You want energy? Send fuel.
We're going to have to work on that. Fred Kirsch, or Kurtz, as he's known in some parts of New England Cable News, not with us for the first hour. He will be down, however, for hour number 2 when we make our NFL picks, and he best be bringing some food.
I bet he doesn't.
Yeah, I bet he doesn't either. But yesterday, based on his performance yesterday, if he doesn't bring food, I don't know what could happen. Just to recap, you know, the 20 minutes or so that Fred was involved in his hunger-forced-induced stupor. He claimed that the Super Bowl would not get as good a ratings as the AFC Championship game because everybody knows the outcome. He also claimed that, well, briefly, that the NFL didn't catch the Patriots in Spygate and then changed his mind about 35 seconds later. Was not a good short period for Fred, but as Tom rightly did, he talked some sense into him with the Super Bowl, and I think we got on it, and then Tom picked him up a little bit later after the show, went and got him a sub, and all was right with the world.
And today he got a haircut this morning, so he's really feeling
well,
good.
Well, that was after he harassed Tom once again for about 20 minutes about where Tom gets his haircut from.
Because he found a new guy who uses the
straight edge
on your back.
Do you get the do you use the straight edge?
No.
Do you? Well, you don't go to the... to get your haircut anyway.
I've been
Gary,
to guys
do you go to the use the straight edge?
Razor, Gary. Razor. Straight edge razor. The old-fashioned kind that flips open.
What, when you get
when
your haircut?
When you get your haircut, do you go to a barber that gives you the old-fashioned straight edge? Is it like any significant difference to you to do it that way than with the regular clippers? Does it matter, does it matter to you?
A cleaner. Yeah, definitely cleaner.
Does it matter to you?
No.
Okay.
Doesn't matter to me.
Doesn't matter to
and
you.
You didn't get a shave, right?
Who, Fred?
I've heard
no.
people say that those straight-edge hot shaves are really the greatest thing since sliced bread.
Yeah.
But he didn't even get one of those.
I have gotten one of those before, and it is, although I was very uncomfortable the whole time.
I would not trust it.
But it is an extremely close shave. But to me, it's not an out-of-body experience, much like the hot towels on the plane.
Now those I like.
Now, I know you like them, but
those give me a little
they don't
boost.
Change my life.
3 a.m., that gives me a little boost as we're coming in for a landing.
Anyway. Just some of the idiosyncrasies of one Fred Kurtz.
What about him? He's not
Tom
even
is
here
just
yet.
Like Tom is just like giggling in the background.
He's got no food.
I'm a little worried about Tom.
He's got food. He's got something right there.
Tom, is your blood sugar all right?
Yeah, it's all right. I thought Gary, who was supposed to send us food?
I don't recall, but somebody said they were going to.
Whoever it is, you're dead to us.
All right, this we'll just
maybe
get.
It's the guy we got into a fight with. Who was it? Scott, Steve, whatever it was yesterday.
Yeah, and he said, "Screw those guys. They don't want to read my emails. They don't want to take my phone calls." Just to get some of the news out of the way first, there was a bit of action late in the day yesterday.
I'm sorry,
Patriots.
Ms.
Have activated both of the Jackson boys, Eddie Jackson, Chad Jackson, off of PUP at the last possible day that they could do so. They only needed to open one roster spot, and Tom, I'm very sorry to say,
disgraceful.
That roster spot was Ray Ventrone's.
It was a roster spot, but it was never Ray Ventrone's.
Well, it was for a game. It was Ray Ventrone's.
It's tantamount to a slap in the face.
Well...
You know the word tantamount?
It was on Seinfeld once.
Oh, okay.
There's an N in there, by the way.
Isn't it tantamount?
Oh, yeah, tantamount. That's Kramer said it once. That's how I know the phrase. But I can't believe it. After his best performance, I mean, shutting down the Colts special teams, they cut him. I imagine he'll be on the practice squad later today.
Yeah, that's why they dominated in special teams. The Colts have allowed like 4 touchdowns already this year, but
Ray will be
it was Ray Ventrone. And... You know, right off the top here, I just can't believe the popularity of this show, Andy. Remember when we used to do this show and just, you know, talk about Christmas gifts and have nothing to really talk about? No one emailed, no one called, no one cared. Now all of a sudden you go 9-0. And
who farted?
You're the most popular show on earth. And John in L.A. is going to lead us off today. Only 1 hour, so we're going to go right to the phone calls, right to the emails. John, what's on your mind?
How you doing, guys?
Excellent.
Good.
Was that
I'm
a CBS-like glitch right there in the audio?
What was that?
There was like a little glitch there as you were coming on.
That might have been me taking my headset off.
Oh, okay.
You have a headset?
Well, yeah. No, because I'm driving.
So you look a little geeky with
that. So I want to... No. Nah, that would be great. That's a good look.
Shouldn't you be picketing somewhere?
No, he's hoping they stay out forever.
I have a job as well, so I'm not picketing.
What's your job?
I run a production company.
Oh, really? So you can you can green light my Bill Belichick as my TV show?
Oh, believe, I'm already working on stealing that idea. Don't worry about it.
Good for you.
If I ever see that on TV, I'm going to hunt you down.
there's no way I make that movie without you guys in it.
Okay. So what do you got for us today?
I'm calling because somebody's got to defend the... Lawrence Maroney a little bit. I know you guys aren't actually killing him. I appreciate that you sort of make a tempered argument. But there are a lot of Patriots fans who are so down on this guy. I think he's looked great when he's had his chances. I think the fact that he dances behind the line, while true, is so unbelievably overblown. It's so exaggerated. It's so much less this year than it was last year.
Well, I will agree. It's less this year than it was the end of last year. I will agree with that. But I don't think it's exaggerated because I think it's holding him back in terms of making plays.
Well, don't you? I think that last week, obviously, the first half he was great. Second half, obviously, really not great. But at least two, I think, of those 6 runs, if maybe more than that, were off that ridiculously predictable shotgun draw that they just went to way too often.
Kevin Falk gets 20 yards every time they do it to him.
I do agree it's ridiculously predictable, but Falk does... is usually productive with the play.
Well, I'll make 2 arguments to that. First of all, I don't agree because, there were times in the second half that he did with Falk and he got stuffed also. But more to the point, Falk is in there generally that the defense is thinking that they're going to pass because Falk is in there. And so they're
I'll
a little
grant you
less...
that. I will grant you that when Falk is in the game, they're not playing the run like they would be with Maroney in the game.
Right.
But I would say that Falk has been more productive with those draws than Maroney has
right.
been. But I do think you're right. I think the defense is probably looking more pass, and they're probably running that play more often against a nickel or dime defense than they with Falk than they would be with Maroney.
Do you think there's any way that part of the reason that they've split carries with Maroney at the beginning of the year, and I'm not trying to like say Maroney's awesome and it's not his fault he's doing badly when he does badly. It's on him, obviously. But do you think part of it is that Belichick's been like, I want to save him a little bit. I want to preserve both of the running backs when Morris is in there also.
I just don't think you should have
later
to,
in the year.
I don't think you should have to do that. No one's worried about saving Adrian Peterson. And if you're good, you're good. You know, no one saved Emmitt Smith. He carried the ball 700 times a season. And I'm not saying Maroney's Emmitt Smith. I'm just saying if you're already thinking about that in week one, then you shouldn't have drafted the guy in the first round.
I can't believe I'm talking to Tom Casale.
And like we said, you know, no, I'm not calling Maroney a bust. I'm just saying up until this point, a little disappointed. I keep waiting for him to kind of break out, break out.
He has
I
not
can't
been a bust.
I'm talking to Tom Casale.
No one's saying he's been a bust. Believe me, we're not saying that. We just, you know, we think he's been okay, but not great.
All right, and I want to give one more shout out to Craig in South Carolina. He needs somebody to step up for him and say he's a good.
John, you should know that's not allowed here on PFW in Progress, that thou have broken the first commandment, and Gary has rightly blown you up for that. But we are going to take your emails all for this first hour. Webradio@patriots.com. Again, webradio@patriots.com. They're coming in fast and furious, Tom, and I'm going to go to the first one because I know it strikes you near and dear to your heart. It's from Clint Scholes, mourning the loss of Ray Ventrone.
Yep.
I knew you would be upset about the loss of Ray, Tom. Knowing I can't afford lunch for you and the guys, I did the next best thing I could. I voted for Oliver Hoyt for the Pro Bowl.
Oh, thank you.
Condolences.
Thank you, Clint. It's nice to see that.
Oliver Hoyt's on the Pro Bowl ballot?
Well, apparently he's the starting fullback, although he hasn't played all year.
I'm going to go vote for him, too.
But, yes, my biggest regret is I never had a chance to say bye to Ventrone. We never got to talk after his big game.
I'm sure you'll get a chance when he comes back to the practice squad.
After he played Dwight Freeney in practice. It was a big week for him. But, Andy, you were right. As soon as you saw him on the plane, you said, this is a thank you. You said he'll be off the roster next week. You were 100% right.
Bill loves those guys, and in all seriousness, that work hard, you know, not a ton of talent.
He
but
takes
just
a shine to those
to the
guys.
Grindstone,
yes.
Yeah,
whether it's coaches, anyone. If you work hard and put in your time, he'll give you a little something.
When he talked about him last year at the press conference, that was about as glowing of an endorsement as I've heard him give anybody.
He definitely takes a shine to the guys that work their way up from the bottom. And they have to do all of those tasks on the way. Nothing is handed to them. So I definitely can see him back with the practice squad. And who knows, maybe back on the roster if there's some injuries and they need some help on special teams again. Anybody watch Inside the NFL last night on HBO?
No, I always forget it's on.
I watched a little of it. I did not see this part that PJ is talking about here. He says Collinsworth said last night that no one would beat the Patriots in the playoffs because you need to have speed rushers. But the Patriots will be watering down the field to create bad field conditions. PJ says, I guess he didn't get the memo.
He didn't really, did he?
I guess.
What a moron.
Collinsworth has really gone out of his way to sort of, the last couple of weeks, say how great the Patriots are. It was like over the top. He went from...
Reverse psychology, seems like.
Right. He went from like really criticizing every little thing to all of a sudden the last couple of weeks going complete 180 the other way. And saying how great they are and how they're unbeatable. And, you know, I don't take that with any more grain of salt than I did the other one.
Feels a little bit like Fred Kirsch picking the Cowboys.
Exactly. Exactly.
You don't buy it.
No. I also wanted to get, and unfortunately I know my two compadres here didn't see it. It has to be the first time I ever saw anything on NFL Network that Tom didn't see. But Mike Pereira's officiating thing I wanted to watch last night specifically for the Patriots-Colts game, and there was our boy Mike Pereira again. As predicted, the NFL has still never made an incorrect call. The Ellis Hobbs call, he claimed, was accurate because he said when the contact was made by Hobbs, and it wasn't, he showed the replay, there was definitely contact. When that contact was made, Hobbs wasn't looking back for the ball. So that means he cut him off and wasn't looking for the ball, therefore he deserved the flag. Which I think is a total load of crap. And once again, the NFL, I think, would be much better served to just admit from time to time when they make mistakes.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, we're talking upstairs. This is the exact reason why this cannot be a reviewable penalty, because my guess is if they went to review on that, based on what Pereira says, like the rule is, and you could always take any rule. That's why I think the Tuck rule, I think it was a fumble. I think it was a fumble because I think you could take any rule, look at its technicality, and say this is how it stands. So I think if they looked at that on review, I think it would have stood probably as a pass
interference.
I think so
too, because I think that's the way that they look at these things. So you can find it any way you want, and that's why I think that it needs to be a 15-yard penalty. So at least if it's a ticky-tack call, like I think that one was, it's not as damaging to a team.
And I just, the whole thing about dragging receivers down to prevent touchdowns, half the time when the ball's in the air, these defensive backs don't even know where they are. Like when Randy Moss went up for that pass against Bethea, he would have had no chance of bringing him down before that pass got there. So I think that's a little overblown,
But don't you see that happening all the time anyway, when a guy's really beaten badly? Why wouldn't you do it now? It's better than giving up a touchdown. At least you have a chance. We have a few people that have written in about that, so I want to get to some of those emails. Bob is the first one. He saw Pereira on NFL Network, who claimed that Hobbs' pass interference was justified because he claimed that Hobbs is, quote, cut off Reggie Wayne while Wayne was looking back at the ball and Hobbs was not at the very moment of the initial contact. In my opinion, the replay shows that it appears that Wayne, while looking for the ball, is angling his body toward Hobbs and then puts his left hand on the left shoulder of Hobbs and then wraps his left hand around Hobbs' left elbow as Hobbs is going full speed toward the pylon and thus cannot prevent rubbing up against Wayne with his left elbow. That he did not knock Wayne down or throw Wayne off course, in my opinion, took exceptional body control. For Pereira, it did not matter that a split second later, Hobbs did turn his head to look back at the ball after the contact and supposedly did his job properly. But Pereira also implied that if Wayne had not looked back at the ball at the very moment of contact by Hobbs, that Hobbs would not have been flagged for pass interference. My question to the experts is, if hypothetically Wayne wasn't looking back at the ball at the very moment Hobbs cut him off, why is that not pass interference? Because wouldn't Hobbs have been impeding Wayne from getting to the general target of the ball anyway? Nothing?
Well, I just think the idea is if he's looking back, he's in the process of trying to make the catch. So he's established himself in that process. I mean, this is the theory. I don't really buy it, but I think the theory they go with is he's in the process of establishing himself making the catch or attempting to make the catch. And I think that is the difference there, whereas the rest of it, he's just running down the field. He's looking in the same direction Hobbs is so he can avoid Hobbs. Hobbs doesn't have to get out of his way.
This email goes on for a couple of days.
Yes, Fred, that little hand gesture you just said while walking in shows there is no food here. We're very disappointed.
Are you all right, Fred?
We actually thought you might bring food.
Because we were very worried about you yesterday in your performance.
The first time I've seen your hair combed ever.
Okay. Let me get to another one. Matt and Quincy also wanted to weigh in on the Pereira debacle, in my opinion.
Does he want
That's my
food?
Word, by the way. I'm sure you will address the Pereira situation if you haven't already, but after hearing his explanation regarding the PI call on Hobbs, I figured out who he reminds me of. Do you guys remember the Iraq invasion? There was this half-ass Iraqi military guy who was dubbed Baghdad Bob. That's him. He used to hold press conferences in the streets of downtown Baghdad saying that everything was okay. There was no invasion, and the infidels would regret the day they threatened the great empire of Iraq. All the while, he would look over his shoulder where you could see smoke billowing in the air and crumbled buildings. That is what Mike Pereira is becoming to the NFL Network. His bogus explanation of the Hobbs play was insulting. Even funnier is how he simply ignored the other awful calls and said the crew did a great job. What is the point of the whole exercise if they're just going to insult the intelligence of the average fan by asking, are you going to believe us or your lying eyes? Just do away with the whole segment. It adds nothing and makes the league look as legit as WWF.
Well, that's what I would say. Isn't that a problem? I don't have a problem with the segment if they want to have it. But shouldn't they have someone else doing it and not the guy who's really in charge? Because if you make the guy who's really in charge a laughingstock, it makes the officiating look worse in general.
I just don't understand why these leagues and the officials, they take it as such an affront if you actually sit there and say, hey, that's probably not the way we wanted that one to be called. And it's probably the officials that would get all bent out of shape themselves because they have their boss on TV calling them out. But to me, they get paid decent money to do a job, and it's an important one. And no one's saying that they got the calls wrong on purpose. No one's questioning their integrity outside of New England.
I was going to say.
Outside of New England.
Some are.
Sometimes you make a mistake. That was a mistake. You can't tell me that because Hobbs wasn't actually looking back for the ball at the time that he made contact, that makes it a penalty. That doesn't make any sense.
So should they be able to admit their own mistake? You say you don't want your boss calling you out on TV. Should they be able to admit their own mistake?
Sure. Whatever.
I mean, if you take it from a player's perspective, Tom Brady can stand up and say, I shouldn't have thrown that pass. It was into double coverage. It got picked, and it was a mistake. I shouldn't have done it. So should a side judge be able to, after the game, say, I blew that call?
Okay, I want to get some couple of different angles here. Shane in Miami writes in. He says he thought the pass interference on Hobbs was a horrible call. However, I think Mike Pereira explained it well on NFL Network last night. He said that at the point of first contact, Hobbs was not playing the ball, and he cut off Reggie Wayne's right to the ball. But the call was closer than Pereira made it sound. Hobbs really looked back for the ball at the same time he bumped Wayne, a close call. Could be called either way. But does the punishment fit the crime? Giving up 50-plus yards? Well, it wasn't that much. It was only 40. On a questionable penalty, I feel, is just too much of an advantage to the offense. What about offensive interference? It's only a 10-yard penalty no matter the circumstance. The whole spot of the penalty thing is just too much, especially when the call is borderline. Do you think this could ever be changed by the rules committee? We've talked about it every year when the officials come in. I just don't think they have any interest in changing it.
They don't appear to.
I agree. I think the call was bad. And I will say on that segment last night that I liked – the reason I liked the segment, there were some things there that were interesting. First of all, on the issue of the crew, and that's gotten a lot of attention, that people keep saying it was a rookie crew. It wasn't a rookie crew.
It was a rookie referee.
It was a first – but he's not a rookie. It's just his first year being a referee.
No, I know. All referees
that has nothing
had
to
a job
do,
before they were referees.
Right, but that has nothing to do with all the calls. Because
right.
the guy, you know, the other guy, you know,
right.
they all were playoff referees last year.
Right.
Four of the that crew were in the Super Bowl last year.
Right.
And,
but it is the first year of the crew being together as a crew, right?
I think that's the case every year.
Oh, it is. They don't keep the crews.
Yeah. Well, I don't quote me on that, but I think that guys are mixed and matched every year. But my point is. Because it's the guy in his first year as a referee, doesn't have anything to do with the guy 40 yards downfield calling a bad pass interference penalty. And I think that was what Pereira was trying to point out, even though he wouldn't even admit that it was a bad call. But the other thing that was funny, and I told you guys about this, that they always show like two or three different plays. And the third one they showed was Green Bay and Kansas City. And Favre threw a little screen pass dump off to Vernon Morency, and it looked like it may have gone backwards. The ball went off of his hand, went backwards. He went and chased it, kicked it out of bounds, and they got called for an illegal kicking penalty. Well, Green Bay went to review. They corrected the call because the pass actually went forward, which negated the kicking penalty. But now the referees got over-officious, as they want to do, and they called him for delay of game. And Pereira said that is flat-out wrong. They shouldn't have done that. And, you know, it was refreshing to actually see, you know, it wasn't that there was a penalty call that was incorrect, mind you. It wasn't a judgment that was incorrect. It was just that the implementation of the rule, he said, was wrong. So I think there's some merit to that segment. I just think that they would be better off just kind of once in a while saying, hey, you know what, that's not the way we wanted it called. But, Fred, are you just going to sit back there and make all kinds of noise, or are you going to join the show?
All kinds of noise. What are you talking about?
You're rumbling,
like chewing,
potato
slamming
chips,
doors.
Slamming the refrigerator. You're getting waters out and opening packages.
Getting waters out.
You're making noise.
Boy, I tell you, that's really rocking your world, huh?
You're making a lot of noise back there. Are you going to participate in the show or not?
I just sat in.
Did you see Pereira last night?
I didn't see it. I heard about
Baghdad
it.
Baghdad Bob, as yeah. one of our emailers
That's a good description.
Them. I agree. Don't worry about it. The NFL got it right.
You know, I can
more at 11.
You know, it's one thing. You know, if I was a Colts fan, I would say, yeah, they got that Hobbs call right. But there was a lot of calls in that game.
I wouldn't.
If
either.
I was a Colts fan, I wouldn't say.
I'd
they
say
got
we
it right.
got lucky.
I might. You know,
Fred, you and I have a very different opinion of what fans are. I can't tell you how many times I've sat on the couch saying, "What a terrible call!" when it went my way.
I've done it both ways, sure.
But why? Why does being a fan make you not
Blind?
Be a football fan?
No.
Being a Patriot fan means you can't be a football fan. No, it makes you dumb. You can't look at this TV
it's like
and
they
say,
showed,
what
they
a terrible
a,
call.
They showed a thing last night, and Fred and I have argued about this before, but I won't.
Wes Welker?
They showed a thing last night, I think, on that Inside the NFL about Green Bay and Lambeau Field and the fans. And, you know, they've been season ticket holders since 1970 and the public company. And they have their tickets. They're on the waiting list, 70,000 strong or whatever. And that makes them great fans. I don't think that makes them great fans. Most of the time that those poor saps have been on the waiting list, the team is stunk. Why don't you not buy the tickets? Give the team incentive to get better. Now they're pretty good, okay? But like throughout the 80s, they stunk. The 70s, they stunk.
I know, but I don't.
And 70,000 people are waiting to line up to get tickets.
Just because
no incentive to get better.
Just because you show how you're a fan differently, you don't credit it. Everyone shows it differently.
No,
But why does that mean you're
a good fan? Is what I want to know.
It doesn't mean you're a bad fan.
I didn't say that. I said, why does it mean you're a good fan?
You're also a good fan when you criticize.
I think Bruins fans.
Why is one exclusive to the other?
My point is, Fred, if you're watching something on TV and it's an obvious bad call.
Right.
Shouldn't matter what team you root
it
for.
Shouldn't.
You should just say, God, that was
a bad call.
Right. I'm just saying on that one particular call, if I'm a Colts fan and Pereira explains, I could say, oh, yeah, Hobbs did cut him off.
Oh, yeah, if you're looking at his explanation.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
I would look at it and say, I don't buy it. That was a bad call.
But overall, I mean, that game was so full of bad calls, you can't, you know, let those refs, that reffing squad off the hook.
See, what were the other bad calls?
Non-calls, bad calls,
Which ones?
The Moss in the end zone.
The one he didn't call on Moss? I thought that was a questionable call. That I thought Bethea could have had the interception if he didn't get pushed?
No, the one where they called on Moss
for
the offensive pass interference.
I thought that was a bad call.
Okay.
But I've seen it called every week. I saw it called against Anthony Fasano.
So what's your point? That the refs did a good job? The refs did a good job?
Fred, no.
There we go.
Okay. My point is they don't. And it doesn't matter what team I'm rooting for. I'm going to say when a call comes up, there's two on two different teams were bad calls.
All right. So fine. But don't you think that the refs did a bad job in that game?
Overall, no. Not nearly as bad as they made out to be.
Okay.
I think they're the same as every other week. They stink. The referees in this league suck.
So you're saying every game is full of bad calls?
Yes.
That game was.
Yes.
Oh,
I think this game was.
I don't know why
stage.
You watch the games then, because if I were you, I'd be so frustrated. I would never turn on the TV.
Obviously,
again.
You've never seen me in at a game because these are the.
Well,
same
you
people.
Never stand up.
These are the people that tell me to relax every single game because I'm always hot and bothered about bad calls being made.
I never see you. I sit next I to never you every
see
me. Game.
You never see me do that.
Once in a while.
Are you kidding me?
If every game was
have a problem with officiating on every single game.
If every game was like Sunday's game, you'd be dead now because your blood pressure, your head would explode.
Well, I've just gotten used to it. And the reason I watch is because unlike a lot of other people, I don't think it's a conspiracy.
I don't
think it's anything intentional. No, I just think it's blatant incompetence.
Nor do I. But I don't think that every game is as bad as Sunday's game.
I think it's not. I think officiating
is bad
in the league.
Even Big Head. Agree.
So
I
now all of a sudden you're gonna take his side,
and
because
I can
he
appreciate
to agree
that.
With you.
That's what I do. I think I said it yesterday. I think officiating has gotten watered down with coaches and quarterbacks, and there's not enough to go around for every game, and you see some really bad calls.
You do see some on occasion, but not
that's what I feel.
Not as egregiously as on Sunday.
Well, but that's
I thought
all
Sunday
I was asking
was a pretty
you
bad
was
one.
All I was
yeah,
asking
Sunday
you
was pretty bad. The Cowboys game was pretty bad. Although
I thought the Cowboys game was ridiculously bad.
They get magnified because no one cares if there's bad calls when the Patriots are up 52-7 against the Redskins.
Right.
They care in games that matter against the Cowboys and Colts.
You know, now if I'm a Seattle Seahawks fan, I go back to the Super Bowl that I lost to Pittsburgh, and to me, that's the game that had the worst calls. But, Paul, what do you think about that game?
I think it's much like all the other games that we're talking about. I think they're bad calls in every game.
Well, not a lot.
It's the stage. It's the stage. The Colts and Patriots play, yes. They ended up being bigger bad calls because of the importance of the game. That's all. The Dallas game, the Patriots ended up winning by 17 points or 20. Whatever point. What was the final score of that game?
21. 40,
yeah. So, you know, at the end, no one's sitting there saying, wow, that was a really tough pass interference call they made on that kid. And wow, I didn't think Anthony Fasano did much on that play.
Why were terrible calls?
What are you going to complain about? They lost by 21 points.
There are, you know, it's a tough,
this game was a four-point game.
It's a tough game. I mean, basketball is, I think, almost even tougher than football. I think that's one of the toughest games to ref. But I think going back to football, I think that overall, I'd give referees an 80, if you know, grading from, you know, 0 to 100. I'd give them 80% good, 20% bad.
I have no idea.
Just
some
know.
Good, some bad. Some games are bad
think,
calls. Some
Andy,
games is.
If you
no
had
idea.
To give them a grade,
so that's right at B minus.
Yeah, about a B minus.
then I would go lower.
And while I'm excited,
you'd go
about
lower.
You know I think on average, there's more bad calls than there should be.
I think there's a bad pass interference called in every single game.
20% is bad. I mean, that's not what you're looking for in a sporting event where the refs aren't supposed to have, you know, be a factor. They're just supposed to be out there.
But on a scale of 1 to 10, I would not give them an 8.
No?
I'd be lower
give
than
them a 7.
Really?
Yeah.
Give them a 7.
high sixes, sevens.
I think there's a bad pass interference called in every single game, and as just one example. But you know what I think that they do the worst at, Fred? Spotting the football.
It's very arbitrary. And,
well, the part of that is it only matters when it matters.
Right.
When it, like, it's,
I know. They just put a foot down.
Yeah. How many times on like a first down play and a guy gets like 9 yards? And you look, and it's like, geez, he looked like he was 2 yards beyond the stick.
Right.
And no one cares because it's second and one.
But
and
the same play in the fourth quarter
out of
or whatever, people start noticing
but
that
no,
it's,
if
it's not
if
very
it,
good.
But if it's a third down play.
Right. But even then,
now
I,
it's
I think
huge.
People magnify it when they make the same bad calls so often early in the game on
that's
less relevant
my,
downs.
That's my point. That's my point about the officiating.
Well, it's the flaw with the whole system,
I think,
too, when they're walking off penalties with their strides.
But you know what
and,
I'm saying, Andy?
Why are we striding anything out? It's a football field. There's markers on it. Use the markers.
But the ball's not always on a marker. That's why.
But it's always relative to a marker.
But my point
about the
officiating
is, if it's a
10-yard
penalty and it's just before the 10, it should be just before the 20.
All you need is a string that's 10 yards
right.
and stretch it out and put the ball at the end of the string.
But in a sport that everything comes down to such finite, instant replay, you know, that commercial they show on TV with the toe, there's so many things that are left just out there.
The spotting of the ball is just so inexact.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
I think that they
– what are you going
to do? That's the worst thing. Do better.
I know, but
what do you mean? What are you going to do?
Well said.
Stop coming out on national television and telling me that the officiating gets every call right. Give me some incentive to make these guys do a better job.
But that spotting of the ball, because it's not where the guy's head; it's where the ball is when the first thing that touches the ground.
The punt out of bounds one.
Yeah, I mean
the guy just keeps walking
right,
and then
it's,
stops.
It's, somewhere. I don't know how they come up with that.
They don't either.
We got to ask them next time
I gotta
about
get to,
that punting out of bounds when they're here.
What a joke.
I got to get to the phones because Chris has been waiting in the Bronx, and, you know, you don't want to wait in the Bronx too long.
It's Chris.
Thanks a lot, guys.
How are you? I'm sorry about that.
No problem. Do you guys need some food?
We do, but didn't you already send us food this
week? Yeah, you already sent us food this week, I thought.
I did. All right, okay. It's not your responsibility.
You're a fine listener.
I say send it again.
No.
We could raise you up the ladder a little bit if you send it twice in a week. That would be above and beyond, no question.
This guy's going to buy us food.
Well, maybe next
stop.
Week.
All right, next week we'll pencil you in.
Even I have a conscience.
I don't.
What's up?
Just talking a little bit about the officiating. The thing that you guys got to remember is that fans are going to look at it a lot differently, well, except for Fred, but a lot differently than you do. And Tom put it well when he was talking about the non-fumble call. I mean, once the rule was explained as I was watching the game, I thought, oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, his arm was going forward. It's not a fumble. Let's see if we can win.
See, I'll look at that play until I die. And I, you know, Fred, you know this. You know, that was long before anything, you know, happened. I'll look at that play till I die and say, that's a fumble. And when I asked the referee the next summer and he said, yeah, that's a fumble, that's pretty much all I needed to know. You know, that's one of those things. It didn't matter that I wanted the Patriots to win. It didn't matter that, you know, we were excited, you know, beyond belief that the Patriots had won the Super Bowl after that. In my mind, I thought that play was a fumble. Andy in Sioux City, Iowa, by the way, who always emails in, he agrees with you, Tom. He's a huge Patriots fan. He said, yeah. That's a fumble. It doesn't matter what they call it in a tuck rule.
Right.
It was
right.
a bad call.
The Patriots got the call. They won.
Well,
so
it's a bad rule.
Oh, see, Chris, I think it was a bad call,
I'm
too.
Stop listening to him. Chris, let me ask you a question. Mm-hmm. But when you're sitting on your couch, say, and you're watching a game, and say Ellis Hobbs just tackles somebody, and they don't throw a flag.
He did what?
No, say Ellis Hobbs just tackles somebody, and they don't.
You have to be within 5 yards to do that.
And they don't throw a flag. Don't you sit there and go, wow, that was pass interference.
Who doesn't?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, if it's blatant, yeah. But once you get into sort of the ticky-tacky aspect
I've said
it,
many
I'm
times.
Go for the home team.
I've said many times with Paul sitting next to me.
Fred's pretty good at that.
The refs have been bad on both sides.
I think Fred's pretty good at that. Like the Samuel one, he never claimed wasn't a penalty on Sunday.
No. You know, he had his arm.
I will give you that, Fred. You are pretty,
you said
pretty
who
level.
Doesn't?
Out of
we have a whole bunch of emails that.
Yeah, Scott, the guy who still doesn't think they tape defensive signals.
let's leave Scott alone.
Anything
all right, Chris.
I'm just curious what, since you guys are there, what's the mood? I mean, I'm sure they're happy to get off this week, but what do you see happening next week, and do you think they're going to be ready for the second half?
Pain.
Yeah. they're not here now. Bill gave them an extended break here. They won't be back until Monday. I don't see any. This team looks to me to be very, very focused and very determined.
And you know what happened, kind of? There's a.
you figure like maybe they'll get someone will sneak up on them. That would be the chance they would have to lose. But then you look at the sneak up games. The Jets, they're not going to sneak up on them. Then the Dolphins, Shula goes popping off at the mouth. Now they're going to be so even games where they might not be focused normally, they're going to be focused for. So I just don't see the Bills is the only chance I see, and that's coming off a bye week. So you kind of get that extra week of preparation and don't you know if that was right after the Colts game, okay, maybe, but. I just don't see a chance of them even being down for a game.
And then the Bills, even if you think they could catch them, I just look at this offense and you catch them for 58 minutes and all of a sudden they put up a 50-yard Moss bomb
well,
and they score have points
to,
and they're
mean,
back
they
in.
They would have to be stumbling around.
Yeah, oh, throwing, no question.
You know what I mean, one of those.
But Bills I just don't think the Bills have the horses to go up 21 points enough to, you know what I mean, late. I think they can score two touchdowns late and go, phew, we escaped that one.
Well, Chris, thank you for the generous offer to buy us food again. Obviously, that is not necessary, and it looks like
we'll pencil you in for next week.
Looks like we do have somebody hooking us up.
Who we got?
Already talked to Gary, right? Frank? Gary, is that right?
We love Frank. What's his last name?
I don't know. Frank is in Breckenridge, Colorado.
Gary? Frank in Breckenridge.
He's checking out. He's checking out two different Papaginos in Foxborough, so he
That's
wants to
God's
know which,
country out
which
there.
One he should be ordering from.
North Street,
which
something.
Is nice.
Gary
North
is
Street.
Not answering us.
And he needs the details, like, you know, not cutting Tom's sandwich.
Yes, make sure they do
so
not
So, Frank,
cut
thank
I'll
you,
send it back
thank you in advance
it.
For that, and Gary
I'd
will...
I'd like to go to an Italian,
you can all thank me.
Gary.
You know what I did?
I'd like, to go, granola, to, I'd like said, to go to a chicken parm, as long as we're changing our
I'd like
our
to go
answers.
To one...
I'll take a chicken parm.
I'll take
Gary's going to kill us, but that's okay.
Go f*** yourself.
I'll take anything, actually.
Well, Frank, thank you in advance. And let's see. Let's get
Ace
to some of these.
Bar. That did it.
Andy in Sioux City, Iowa has some midseason notes that I'm going to get to. I'll get you guys impressions of. Just some comments. Would someone please tell Ellis Hobbs that Iowa State sucks and he should quit wearing those ugly colors? They have won twice this season. I was completely wrong about Moss, and we obviously need to find a way to keep him in New England. I don't remember ever saying wow so many times in one season after a wide receiver catch. Please keep number 81. Welker is more than just a nice little player. The Patriots win keeps the Colts-Patriots rivalry real because a real rivalry needs both teams to win once in a while.
Wow.
I love Sox-Yankees.
I love all the controversy with the crowd lately. Noise, penalties, handshakes. It just makes it all that much more interesting and fun to be part of. I can't believe any of you guys believe that the Steelers can beat the Patriots at home. Well, really, none of us do except for Andy. We have always had their number, and we'll kick their butts again.
Always
I think
had
the,
their number?
I think the
do
Giants.
Do we need to look at the history of the Steelers a little bit here? I do believe a member, wasn't it a Halloween Day decimation a couple years ago?
That was once. What happened in the playoffs?
It was a Halloween Day decimation. Is this in the playoffs?
I'm pretty sure.
I think
sure.
this is a regular season game,
I'm pretty
Paul.
That's
sure,
one
Andy.
Time in, like, the last five
yeah, I was
that they
say,
won.
The Patriots have dominated the Steelers.
The Patriots have dominated that series.
And the Steelers dominated that game
one day.
In the regular season.
The Steelers dominated one
book.
Day.
Regular season. I'm not saying they can win in the playoffs.
In the regular
I think
season,
no
the Patriots
chance.
Have beaten them. More than Pittsburgh has beaten the Patriots.
What? We got that 23-20. Ooh, they killed them. Ooh, ooh.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, now it's how many
ooh,
you win
bad
by.
Bad Patriots. 34-20. Pittsburgh, romp.
41-27, Patriots, romp. AFC Championship.
They said regular season.
They opened the stadium.
They opened the stadium 30-14.
I'd like to compare
romp.
Apples to apples, not apples to oranges,
well,
Paul.
Regular season, 2002.
Well, then
romp.
You can't do anything because it's a different team every year, so you can't compare anything if you're going apples to apples.
Anyway, no fun chiming in.
Andy, yeah, I know. We're having fun.
So what are
here.
We talking about then?
Who invited you? Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
Look at his hair. It's all combed. He goes to the barber. Take a mental
hey, Whitey,
picture.
Where's your hat?
Because you don't get that one too often. He gets out of his caddy. Looks like he still has the top down, even though it's not a convertible.
Anyway, Andy thinks the only...
Andy's just jealous because if he ever grew hair on his head, he'd look like, you know...
well put.
I'm not the bald one here.
Look like an ice cream cone.
I get angry when it gets much longer than it is right now.
You know.
With all due respect to the person who's emailing us trying to get homework done, we're not in the business of doing
What's
homework.
What's the homework? I'll help.
He's looking for some interview with a trainer and stuff.
I
can't help you.
They're gone.
Sorry.
They're not even here.
I don't mean to be
trainers
rude, but
here?
I'm not here to do homework.
I bet the trainers are here.
Who are they training?
The people
that are
have
injured.
Treatment.
I don't
Eric Alexander
Absolutely.
Types?
Absolutely.
They're all gone.
Did you check the parking lot out at all?
I think they're gone.
There's a lot
they're
of cars
not,
in the parking lot.
Coaches.
Are here.
Yeah.
Trainers are here.
Hey, we're gonna go back to
players are here.
We're going to go back to the phones and continue that fascinating argument when Andy and I say, yes, there are people here. And Fred says, no, they're not. Nelson is in Keene, New Hampshire. How are you, Nelson?
Good. How are you guys doing today?
What's up, Nelly?
First time caller? Long time listener?
Actually, not a long time listener. I started listening to you guys just a few weeks ago, actually, and now I just can't stop listening.
Tell a friend.
Yeah, oh yeah, I've told many. In fact,
we're like a weed. We just keep growing on you, baby.
Right? I just told a buddy of mine who actually interned for the Patriots this past training camp.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he was he's a physical trainer. He was down there for the training camp and
see here now?
Huh?
Is he here now?
It was training camp, Fred. Did you listen?
No, he actually got called to do the Chargers game not too long ago, and I guess he got another call saying that he might be asked to do the playoffs. So.
Wow. Tell him to give us a call.
Yeah, we need to know who's injured.
Actually, don't tell him to give us a call because that will eliminate his employment here with the Patriots.
Yeah, right. Well, I just wanted to mention something real quick. I know that Fred yesterday was talking about how the Super Bowl wasn't going to be as watched as
and I will repeat it, will not be the highest rated Super Bowl
that's
ever.
Not what you said yesterday
or higher than the AFC title game is what you said.
I'm going back on that one.
All right.
You know, the more I thought about it, the more I thought that you know, with last year's Super Bowl, it was kind of like a given that the Colts were going to beat the Bears, and I it made me sick to my stomach to want to think of watching that game. But it's almost like a train crash. It's like you got to watch it because, you know, just anything might happen. Anything.
Right.
Even Peyton Manning might go down with an injury. That could have caused that game to go totally a different way.
You are very much like Fred.
No, but seriously, people who hate the Patriots and are rooting for them to lose and not break the record, they're hoping Joe Theismann moment where they see a leg snap like they've never seen
before.
But
I also think that the media's done a very good job this year. I think the media's done a very good job this year of turning people off of the Patriots.
Yeah, that'll make them stop watching the Super Bowl. I like the point you made about anything could happen. If you're a football fan, you cannot miss. It's like
that's true. You are right.
Anything could happen. You could see a 52-50 game.
Right.
I mean, you could see an overtime game for 2 hours. I mean, you never know what's going to happen, and you have to see.
And there's only one per year. There's only 42 of them. That's why they make these big DVD series that includes all the Super Bowls. People want to know what happened in every Super Bowl.
Is it true that some Super Bowls are more highly rated than others?
Every year, it generally goes up.
No, it doesn't.
As the population goes up.
Oh, I don't think so.
Generally, it's been going up, up, up. Check the graphs.
It has been going up.
There's little blips down, but it's been in general, going up.
But he is right about like the Steelers and the Cowboys, and like there are some
that are bigger than
others.
This will
be the greatest
ever. Andy's also right.
And you
say
it's the greatest ever, and I say it will not be.
A lot of the top 10 are recent Super Bowls,
right? And it'll always be like that. This greatest ever this year in 4 years will get surpassed.
I just don't see if they're our argument is if they're undefeated. I don't see why you think people aren't going to be interested in that.
Because I think
if they're undefeated, in my mind, will be the highest Patriots one ever.
I just think that the non-Patriots fan, I think there's a lot of people out there that hate us to the point of they're sick of us and they don't even want to watch us.
Would you say
watch to see us fall?
Like I was saying, though,
they know we're going to win.
Would you say, Fred, that the Patriots, the people that don't like the Patriots are football people?
Some of them are.
Okay, so would you say that Super Bowl, all football people watch the Super Bowl? I don't even think you're going to get one person who doesn't like the Patriots who likes football to not watch the Super Bowl because the Patriots in it. Not even one person.
Well,
but that's why I'm going back to the whole thing with last year's. Like, you know, I respect the Colts and I appreciate everything that they've done for, you know, football. They've made, you know, the AFC, you know, totally the dominant, you know, conference now, but I didn't really want to watch that game. I mean, I totally, you know, I'm not going to say I'm a Colts hater, but you know, I'm a Pat fan and I didn't like the fact that the Colts had beaten the Pats and they were going on to the Super Bowl, but again, because I didn't like the Colts, didn't mean that I wasn't going to watch the Super Bowl. I still had that interest in just seeing, you know, what could happen. I mean, and I'm sure all the Patriots haters out there, they're probably wanting to see the Patriots lose at the very least.
Right. And it's a whole day. It's an event.
Right.
You know,
you
start eating, you watch the game, the commercials. I mean, everyone watches the commercials that haven't been good in 5 years.
The only argument I fall back on is it's the Super Bowl.
I know, but what do you think that I am saying?
I don't know.
I have no idea.
I think this is the most ridiculous argument you've
I'm
ever come up
it's
with.
Not
that's
be
saying
the
a lot.
If the Patriots are in it, it's not going to be the highest-rated Super Bowl ever.
But I think that's not what you were saying yesterday.
That's
you're
what I'm saying now.
You've changed,
and that's not
you've
my.
Changed it.
That's not my argument. My argument is if they're undefeated, I think it'll be the highest-rated.
Right.
Not
and,
just
and,
if they're
and
in
I
it.
And I say even if they're undefeated, it will not be the highest-rated.
Now that's
ever.
A bet.
Okay,
we'll find out.
All right.
Thanks, Nelson. We appreciate it.
Appreciate it. Look. Highest ever. I mean, I don't know if it's going to be the highest ever. I just don't think. What I disagree with, Fred, is your logic that the undefeated because people don't like the Patriots. They're not going to. People are going to watch history. They're going to watch to see if they can do
this. Paul, I get the emails from non-Patriots.
85% of the country will be rooting against them. I grant you that. I
don't get
agree
the non-Patriot fan thing. You don't think people were sick of the Bills the fourth time they went into the Super Bowl to get whooped by the Cowboys?
I sat there and watched that game knowing 1,000% they could not compete. I hated Buffalo. Yeah. They were a division rival.
I don't
and
think
I didn't
you hated Buffalo the way some people hate the Patriots.
Well,
now.
I did.
Now people hate the Patriots.
I thought you hated Miami back then.
Patriots but they weren't good then. Buffalo was a team going to the Super Bowl every year.
What do we always say is good for Major League Baseball and what's bad?
The Yankees being good.
Is there any team more hated in the world than the Yankees?
No.
And everybody watches it when they're in the World Series. Why? Because they want to see
Because they want to root against
them. The role of Tom Casale.
I don't
know. Which is why what was the game? There was a football game on there was a Monday night game. You guys all came in and talking about the Monday night. It was the Dallas Buffalo game when Romo threw all the interceptions, and you guys were all like, "Did you see that interception?" And I go, "No, I was watching Cleveland and the Yankees because I was rooting against the Yankees."
Yeah,
like I'm sure that a lot of the rest of the country was doing because people hate that team just like they do with the Patriots now. But I agree with you.
I just think it's a new kind of hate now. It's not just
it's a better hate.
The Patriots have to be better at getting hated than anybody else. I mean, you hate the Yankees because they were good. It's not like, you know, the Yankees, you got
to
admit,
but
the Yankees
a lot more to it than
not
that.
Just, it's not just it's Steinbrenner.
They buy,
it,
yeah,
it's
they buy all the players. They do all this. They didn't like them.
Well, that's corporate Steinbrenner's been on.
This corporate better-than-you image that they portray.
Well, I don't know about that. Do you think they do that?
Fred, they're not allowed to have mustaches.
Right. Did he just like wake up yesterday and join the world?
No, but he acts like I make these things
but
up.
The reasons that the media and people are being given to hate the Patriots go well beyond they're good and they always beat us. It's well beyond
exactly.
That.
Just like the Yankees, it goes well.
And
beyond.
I think it
the
makes
Red Sox
it...
don't have anywhere near the level of hatred that the Yankees do.
That's correct.
They're good. They're just as good as the Yankees.
Just recently.
But and I still think though
the
whole
Patriots
thing with
have been dominant
but
for years.
The whole thing with the cheating and everything too. I just the whole thing just all lumped into one. Randy Moss. I mean,
right.
Take everything and put it into one ball. Be it on the Super Bowl, undefeated. Everyone's going to want to see if they can do it. The people who don't think they deserve it because of the cheating are going to be rooting against them.
That's
it's
what I think. What's lost in this is who cares whether they're hated or not? We can argue about that. That's a different, separate argument.
Right.
The issue is what Tom always talks about with people like Howard Stern or Tom himself. Love him or hate him, you're listening because you want to see what he's going to say next. Love him or hate the Patriots, you want to see history.
And you might be right, but I just have this gut feeling that there's going to be enough of a percentage. And I granted, everybody's going to watch the Super Bowl who's interested in football, but there's always that core people that, you know, they could care one way or the other. It's more of an event for Tom, like Tom says.
It's an event for everybody.
Those people don't hate the Patriots.
But
it's a home event.
You don't think watching an undefeated team is that extra little something?
I think there's enough of them. They're going to say, I know the Patriots are going to win. And they're not going to watch.
What are they going to do?
Well, I knew the 49ers were going to win all their Super Bowls and still watch that.
Mike is in Florida.
It's the Super Bowl. Well, some Super Bowls are rated higher than others, and there's reasons for that. Otherwise, they'd all have the same rating.
I feel like he knows something. I feel like this is one of those things where somebody told him it's not going to be on as many
networks,
so
the rating same argument
won't
tomorrow,
be as high or something.
No, we're just talking U.S., remember. We're not talking internationally because they don't know what they're watching.
So you're telling me you honestly don't know anything.
It's the same guy that can't wait to get us to
it's
China.
Just a gut feeling.
There's no technicality. I don't know. I never know what he knows.
I wouldn't
he might
be surprised,
be arguing something totally
I wouldn't
different
be surprised
tomorrow.
That there's this movement of Patriot haters that say boycott the Super Bowl if they're in it.
Read the next email.
They even get hated better than everybody else.
It's Mike, true.
Mike is in
the
Florida.
The media's done a very good job of turning the country
reporting
against
the facts.
Mike is in Florida, and he agrees with Tom, Andy, and me. If the Cowboys play the Patriots in the Super Bowl especially, it will be the
forget
biggest audience
it.
Ever to watch a
well,
Super Bowl.
Well, that, yes.
You can forget
See,
about
now we're
going
to get screwed if the Cowboys make it because he's going to use that as an excuse.
I don't care. He could have put that up before. He didn't.
I'll still say it.
Let's see. Don't, to be fair to Andy.
Don't be the Cowboys and the Patriots.
Let's be fair to Andy.
This is Josh in Arlington, Virginia. Former emailer of the week for May 16th, 2007.
The guy remembers when he was. That's good.
He says the Patriots are 6-12 against the Steelers all time in the regular season. I still don't think they can beat them this year, especially
Thanks,
at home.
Josh.
We're talking.
The only thing is, one of those six wins has come in the last 10 years.
Of course, the Steelers. You know, when they were winning 4 Super Bowls in the '70s, I'm guessing some of those wins might have happened back then.
Let's see here. Stop it! They say. Who's they?
No arguing.
You guys are talking about officiating for the last few days. Stop it. Beat the crap out of these teams and take it out of their hands. Listen, whether you like it or not, Indy is a good team. Give them credit. I love my Pats, but officiating doesn't make me cry and whine. Just stop it. Have confidence in the Pats, and the rest will take care of itself. Great
talking
email.
Talking to us.
Great email.
Well, to Paul's defense, he's nearly not the one whining because he thinks they stink in every game.
I do. I really do.
No, the people that are whining are the emailers.
Yeah. Let's see. Give it a rest, Paul, says Josh.
I agree.
Again, former emailer of the week for May 16th, 2007. it's not just the stage the game is on as much as it's the severity of the consequences of the blown calls. Given Robelberger a TD,
Robelberger?
I don't even know what we're talking about now, for crawling into the end zone in the Super Bowl after being down is a terrible call and a whole lot worse than the average bad or missed holding call. What are we talking about?
I don't know.
All bad calls are not the same. So basically, you're agreeing with me. If it's a bigger stage, it's a worse call.
And the situation.
Sometimes I think bad calls are not just the stage. Sometimes there's laughable calls that are just laughable calls.
Sunday's game was except. But what call gets more attention? This Roethlisberger one in the Super Bowl, or that offensive pass interference on Seattle in the Super Bowl,
yep.
Or like the Vinny Testaverde one when he was about 8 yards short of the end zone and got.
They both get a lot of attention, don't they?
You think
comparable? Paul's right. I think the worst call I've ever seen in my life.
Who are the Jets playing against the day that Testaverde got
Seattle.
A
Seattle. I knew that.
Mr. Football Savant wasn't the one I was asking
you were
for
asking
that.
Us.
I was asking Andy.
But the facts of the play aren't relevant. It's the play. It's not who did he – who.
People
who
don't
was,
talk about that. I mean, obviously it's a memorable play
do.
Because a lot
well,
of people
Well, that Lockett
give that.
Guy, that was his reputation
Don't they credit
right there.
That for the bringing back replay?
But I was going to say that call is being credited a lot for actually being the impetus to put replay back. But it's not nearly as – thought of as one of the blown calls in football history.
Oh, I don't know about that.
One of the memorable blown
Paul,
calls.
I think it is
one of the examples, though, of blown calls.
Oh, absolutely. You could pick one from any game you want.
I agree with Paul because the worst call I ever saw was when Ditka coached the Saints. They were playing Tampa Bay, and there was a pass they called complete. And they went to review. Ditka challenged. And you saw the ball. This was a blatant case of the ball bounced off the ground, up in the air, and the guy said, "Oh, that's going to be overturned." And they still call it a catch.
How about the Bird Emanuel catch in the NFC Championship?
Well, how about the one where they actually said we blew it, the Giants game at the end of the season? Remember, it was on the special teams play.
Oh yeah, San Francisco.
Oh, the botched snap, yeah.
And the league actually apologized afterwards, but it's
thanks.
Too late. Yeah,
thanks.
What?
No, I'm saying thanks for the apology afterwards, but you know that was a playoff game too.
Oh, okay. Playoff game. Early playoff game. I remember.
Yeah. That's why why we're talking about it, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Let's see. We got TJ here. Thanks for letting me rant. So this ought to be good. One last thing on the replay of the NFL end last night. They had a good footage of the handshake at the end of the game. We knew he's pissed and he should be, but BB could cool it with the venom, especially against Dungy, somebody who plays without venom.
I didn't see. What did he do?
They shook hands.
I know they did, but.
And neither of them looked that happy.
But they're saying that he
absolutely.
Like sneered at him.
That's what
I
didn't
see.
Get.
What did he do?
I didn't see nothing.
They both had serious looks on their face. Dungy had the same look Belichick.
Well, Belichick's not going to go smiling at
him.
No,
and here's the point. They don't like each other.
Yeah.
We know it. They know it.
Right.
And I like it because they're not pretending.
And I thought Dungy showed it. I thought Dungy showed his disdain for
Dungy
for
doesn't
England.
Like him. He doesn't like Dungy. Yeah. Good. That's
Plus,
good.
You know, Dungy's team just blew a 10-point lead.
Absolutely.
You can't expect him to be happy.
Absolutely.
Belichick's not going to show him up.
I didn't see anything out of the ordinary.
Yeah, so what is everyone talking about? I've gotten many emails. Oh, he snubbed him.
I got a call from my wife as soon as we were on the bus. What was that all about in the post-game handshake? And I said, why? What happened? And she described it, and then I went home and watched it, and it really wasn't what she saw with her eyes. It was like you. She saw something different.
I think people are waiting to see, like almost kind of waiting and
They're
expecting
looking for
to see
it, and it's not really there.
All right, we got to go back to the phone lines, the phone banks, as Bill Burt would say. Salt is in Orlando. Salt,
hey,
how are you?
Hey guys, how you doing?
What's up, Salt?
Name
Where you
is
been?
Salt, by the way.
Where have I been?
We never asked him why.
Salt of La Macchia?
Salt.
Oh, you really want to know? It's a quick story. I got a black girlfriend, and my friends are retarded, so they call me Salt, and they call her Pepper.
Okay,
that was worth
story.
It.
But,
I was extremely worried when that story started, but that was worth it.
You guys were talking a couple weeks ago or last week about Mike Pereira and how he thinks refs can do no wrong.
Yep.
And I finally realized why you guys are talking about that. It's because I'm watching something on the internet, and Mike Pereira is talking about the Ellis Hobbs pass interference last week.
Right,
right.
And he's going over this, and he's talking about why it's pass interference, and he can barely show it on slow-mo on why it's pass interference, because when he touched him at the point of first contact, his head wasn't all the way around.
Right.
But you could barely... I mean, with the naked eye, you probably wouldn't even have been able to tell that.
Right.
They break those down frame by frame and find any out they can grasp onto to say why it was a good call and not admit they made a mistake.
Have you guys talked about Shula?
We talked a lot yesterday
about him.
What were your opinions on it?
Well, I think one
bitter old man.
Yeah, one of our emailers said it best. He's been sniffing his own Depends too long.
Well, my girlfriend put it best. She hasn't been watching football that long, but she's been saying, hey, he's just mad because someone's going to beat his record, and he wants an excuse now.
Well, that's
well, you tell
that's
Peppa
how it comes off.
You tell, yeah, tell Peppa, I'm done with that.
And I said, you're finally right for once. So, all right, guys, take it easy.
All right.
Thanks, Salt.
Salt in Utah.
That's a great story. Salt is in Florida.
Yeah, he's in Orlando.
I just assumed it was a joke I didn't get.
I thought that he was in Utah.
I thought it was like a
Who's
Mormon
in Utah?
Reference. One of our millions of listeners.
The best is the way he's...
It's a quick story. My girlfriend's black.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, God.
It was like that email Fred read once that he shouldn't have read.
Hey, we had a couple of emails about this, so I wanted to get into it a little bit. Mike in Florida is asking about the coin toss. He heard there was, like, the referee accidentally dropped it. They did flub the coin toss.
Yeah. Brewski was yelling at him.
Yeah, well, as usual.
Here's a shock.
The referee hit his arm as he was about to... flipped the coin, hit his arm on one of the player's shoulders, and he dropped the coin and just picked it up and flipped it again. Of course, Brewski had to scream at him like he just cost the Patriots the game because that's what he does. But there was like a reflip of the coin there that, I don't know. Do you think there was anything to that, Fred?
I don't know. I didn't know what was going on out there. I just knew that Brewski was yelling at him.
He told him to do his job about 100 times.
Did he?
Which might explain why you guys are all complaining about the officiating, by the way. So
ref should have said, when's the last time you made a play? Do yours.
What
are you still doing here?
Right.
We had a couple of calls about that one, so I just wanted to get into that a little bit. Gary,
it was fixed.
Gary, let's step aside here. I'll get Fred in the hot seat. We'll take a break. We'll get the food, hopefully, and do the picks in the second hour.
For the sixth straight season, your New England Revolution has advanced to the Eastern Conference Championship game. Thursday, November 8th at 7:30 p.m., Gillette Stadium will be rocking when the Revs take the field versus the Chicago Fire. With a win, they're in and will advance to MLS Cup 2007. Call 1-877-GET-REVS for tickets to this pivotal match. With the U.S. Open Cup Championship under their belts, the Revs are shooting for the MLS Cup trophy and another championship for New England. Tickets start at just $18 and significant discounts are available for groups of 20 or more. Bring your family or group and cheer on the Revs to the championship. Call 1-877-GET-REVS or Ticketmaster at 617-931-2222 to get your Eastern Conference Championship tickets and get the Revolution.
I'm in a dryer trapped in the lint vent.
Right now, there are millions of coins out there that have been forgotten. Coins with real value.
I'm next to a French fry under the passenger seat.
Bank of America is doing something to end this senseless epidemic. It's called Keep the Change. Once you enroll, every purchase you make with your Bank of America Visa check card is rounded up to the next dollar. And the difference is transferred from your checking account to your savings.
I'm in an empty mayonnaise jar in the garage.
So the next time you spend $10.20 at the grocery store, you'll be doing your part to put 80 cents into your savings account. Please, give this change the opportunity to really add up.
I've been sitting on a record player needle since 1982.
Bank of America. Bank of Opportunity. Open a checking account and enroll in Keep the Change today.
Member FDIC, patent pending.
When you've got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
All right, welcome back to PFW in Progress. Paul and I have switched seats. Are we going right into the
No, we got a lot of emails there, but we had a ton of emails earlier.
Where's Eric?
A lot of people were talking about the officiating stuff and talked about the Jacksons being activated, Chad Jackson, Eddie Jackson.
Yeah, we didn't really talk about that much.
Well, and there was a couple emails that I wanted to get to, but then we got in our little side rant about the Super Bowl.
Which ones?
The Jackson. Give us an email about the Jacksons as an excuse to talk about that.
About the what?
Jackson. Chad Jackson.
Chad and Eddie Jackson, were activated yesterday.
I know, but there's nothing on here that says Chad Jackson or Eddie Jackson. So how?
Okay, so forget you. We'll just talk about it.
No, what do you think,
why,
Andy?
How, what's going on?
How about defensive Maroney?
I think Chad Jackson could
we already talked about that.
I think Chad Jackson can be a part of this offense possibly down the stretch. Now, I don't think it's going to be a major part.
Okay, but picture it. Miami Dolphins, fourth quarter. Randy Moss already has a touchdown. They take him out. Chad Jackson comes in. They go deep, and he makes a huge play.
Is that what
you're
talking about, part of the...
No, like, I'm talking about as a major insurance policy, if Stalwart or Moss were to
that
pull
I
hand,
agree
is
with.
Is he capable at this point of making big plays for this offense?
Right now,
as
I
often
think
as
is.
Those two, no, but I think he could make
as
some big, some
Wes
big
Welker.
Plays.
No.
No, I don't think, you know, I was not even talking about as often as the other two.
What's Wes Welker's, just a total aside here, longest punt return of the season?
35 yards, probably.
That's what I thought. I just heard on the regular radio yesterday the Fred Kirsch of that talking about Wes Welker saying, you know, and then you look up and he's 40-something yards downfield, and I'm thinking,
well, maybe he's got, I don't know.
When was the last time he was 40-something yards from where he caught the ball?
I will say that, Fred. He's a better punt returner than I thought he was.
He's doing well.
Low to the ground. He's slippery.
He's doing well.
Slippery.
I know that you'll say that I never admit I'm wrong, but he's a better punt returner than I thought he was.
He's very strong for his size, and he keeps his leg moving. So that first hit,
if
they don't wrap him up, he's going to break free and get a few more yards.
Eric's here.
He's got his little crib sheet, too.
I'll read Mike Gerkins. He says, as a grad of Iowa State, I'd like to send a big old FU out to Andy in Sioux City, Iowa. I have a guess that you're a Hawkeye fan, and one of the Cyclones' two wins is versus the Hawks.
Oh, well said.
The Clones deserve to get as much love as they possibly can get ass. I don't know. Now to some Patriots.
So they're going to try to get some ass?
Is that what you're saying? Are they David Ortiz?
Do you see the Patriots taking one of the second half games to allow Maroney to get 25 to 30 carries to see if he is capable of being the guy? If so, what game would you be most beneficial to do that in? I just think that if they can give him some confidence as the season rolls on, it'll benefit everyone on the team. And finally, does Chad Jackson get any first-team playing time? And suck it, Andy and Sioux City.
Not without injuries, I don't think, for the last question.
No.
Well,
you think he's going to get first-string time over Welker?
No. I don't think Jabbar Gaffney should be getting first-string time.
He
did against the Colts.
But he doesn't really.
If you watch the first half against the Colts, Jabbar Gaffney was on that field more often than I ever thought I'd see him again.
He played one-third of the snaps that Stallworth and Welker played in that game.
In the second half, Stallworth took about every
snap. I said the game.
I said the first half.
But I'm saying in the game.
First half is generally a big part of the game.
Why are you so fixated on who actually is on the field for the first play of the game as a starter?
Did I say the first play of the game?
But you're saying he
said the first half. It's actually a lot of
plays. But you're saying
the first unit. So now probably about 30-something plays, Paul.
He didn't play 30. He played 11.
I said the first. You just don't listen. You hear whatever you want to hear. Fred's right. You argue and you just don't listen.
Why is that the first string? I don't. We've had this argument about
Harrison. Because he was out there the bulk of the first half.
Well, see, that's where I disagree with you about. That's where I disagree with
you. Well, I'm sorry you disagree with the facts.
Okay. He played 11 snaps. That's the bulk of them, I guess.
It was in three receiver sets.
Okay. Then I'm wrong, then. I won't be a bad arguer. To me, that's not the bulk of the snaps. But
okay.
If that is,
You view it however you want to view it, but Jabbar Gasnier was more on the biggest game of the year. He was on the field more often than I'd ever thought I'd see him.
So was Ray Ventrell.
That doesn't make him a starter, though.
I don't know what to say either, Fred.
No one asked if he was going to start.
I mean,
they said, will you see him get first-team reps? If I see him on the field with Stallworth and Welker or Moss and Welker or Moss and Stallworth in regular sets early in games, then I say he's getting first-team reps. Just like Jabbar Gaffney did against the Indianapolis Colts for more often than I ever thought I'd see.
I think the way you have to look at it, because Belichick will scheme differently depending on the
question.
Team.
I don't think
you got to look
Chad
at it.
Jackson's
if they had
to
cut a guy, you know, who are the guys that are untouchable, and you know, and you got to rank them. And then if Jabbar Gaffney comes up highly ranked, then you say, yeah, he's one of the starters or the first team guys. He's not one of the first team guys.
I consider those first-team reps, and that's what I thought the question was. So if Jabbar Gaffney's going to get them, then I could see Chad Jackson getting them.
Okay, then I will just say that I would just have the argument that we're having is a difference of opinion of what a first-team rep is then.
Yeah, it's semantics once again.
Because I don't think
I don't think Chad Jackson.
I don't think Jabbar Gaffney has taken a first-team rep all year.
Oh, I
do. Just because he was on the field at the start of a game. I mean,
no one said the start of a game. The entire first half. You can't play a third or more of the first half and say, you're not getting first-team reps. I just don't get
maybe we have to ask the emailer what he means.
And it's clear Dante Stallworth was not hurt because he played the bulk of the second half.
Well, the email,
I guess what I'm saying, Andy, is I think, like, you know how we think about Kelly Washington and how he generally is on the field and like as a running guy? I think that they came out and they ran the ball a little bit in that game. And for whatever reason, I have no idea why. Bill did it that way, but that was why Gaffney was on the field.
I think first team reps.
When they changed the style of their offense, Stallworth was back out there, and I think that he is the first team guy. Welker, Stallworth, and Moss. Now, that doesn't mean I'm right.
Gaffney got first.
I don't want you to get mad at me.
It
doesn't mean I'm right. It's just my opinion. That's all.
What are you looking at me for?
Mike from Florida says,
"How come he's the only one that can be in stupid arguments? Why can't Andy and I?"
Well, he
not
tried
have
to jump
argument?
Into this one. He's a starter or something. No one said anything about starting.
As usual, he was in a different argument.
Right.
The Patriots players have been reacting a little bit more than usual these days when it comes to comments by the media and/or washed-up football coaches. Do you guys think this is a bad thing? Then again, since Spygate, they've been playing with a chip on their shoulder. Although I don't think they should be reacting to comments made by guys like Shula, I think this will make them work that much harder to go 19-0. P.S., what do you guys think about the smallest spread for the rest of the Pats' schedule being 13 points against the Steelers? I heard that on ESPN.
Going 14.5 around here.
Well, I'm giving Andy 10.5.
Whoa. I thought it was 13.5.
See, I thought the spread would be 12. That's why I thought that 10.5 was
I'll give you 13.5.
They're putting spreads out this early in advance of a game?
Nah, it's just they're guessing. I mean, the Steelers could blow out everyone they play from here on in, and the spread would go down. And the
13.
Patriots good.
I'll give you 13.5. Relax over there. Only one argument at a time with you.
Fred, what was the first question in that email?
I don't know.
What was the first question? I wanted to answer it.
Do you think the Patriots have been reacting more?
Oh, yeah.
What do we think about it? And I do think they're reacting more.
I think they are, and I love it.
Well,
personally.
I need to divvy. I mean, do you want me to give my Homer Patriot thing? Because their whole philosophy is not reacting to them, so I don't know why they are. But as a journalist and as a fan, I love it. I love these feuds and words and everything.
I'm keeping the journalist part out of it. I'm just saying as a fan, I think it's great. I think that when people say things.
It's not the Patriot way, Paul. And you know the Patriot way.
But I like what
Bruschi
said. Hey, I've been here all my career. This is a team, you know.
And as Shula
would
probably
feel that
rebut,
way if somebody
your whole career.
I don't even care about. I like the,
I like
the
what
Vrabel.
Said.
The Vrabel quote was the one that I liked the most.
What
about
did he say?
He's very good
about ex players and you know
washed up old players
and an old coach. I think that if you want to say disparaging things about a team, that team should be able to stand up for itself and say them right back.
Well, and the Patriots do on game day. That's when they stand up.
And
for
I don't
themselves.
Like that. I like it. I like standing up for yourself before you know that you've won.
Don't you like your actions?
No, that just makes you a bully.
Well, yeah, but as a journalist,
I like what they've done the last, and I agree. Bruschi, even in San Diego at that San Diego game, I think it's been great the way the Patriots have stood up for themselves.
But you don't think it's more impressive to have your actions speak for you?
No.
That's
anybody
fan,
can do
from
that
from a fan's
that's
point like of view, maybe. But from a journalist, when you ask a question,
oh,
you like to get.
I don't care as a journalist.
Get,
as
it's
a
Monday
response.
Morning quarterback. After
right.
I punch you out, I can talk all the trash I want.
Oh,
it's if I'm walking up to you and talk trash, and then you lay me out,
exactly.
I look like the idiot.
I loved, and that's why
they don't do it.
You know, Fred, right. that you know, I always say
but they do
stuff
now.
About Brewski and how I don't always think he's fair. I thought he was fantastic after that San Diego game.
That's true. They
you
can't
got,
lose
you got Rashe Caldwell playing receiver. You don't want to talk so much. You could lose a game. Now they just know.
Not only do they have Moss, but now they're playing the 72 Dolphins. Those guys are all like 70.
It's all right. Shula just went golfing with Dick Anderson the other day. I hope they had a medic on board.
I think it's funny. Shula got in trouble for, you know, again, stating the facts. It's attached to this team, and it always will be.
Well, he gets in trouble for actually giving his opinion.
Well, yeah,
see, I don't think there's anything wrong with opinions.
It's not a fact that they're tainted. That's his opinion.
Right.
No, he didn't say tainted. He said having that attached to you, meaning the issue.
The Cameragate issue.
And it's forever. We've all agreed, I think, that it's forever attached to this team. On some level, whether it's the last paragraph of the story, it says in 2007 they were found penalized for cheating.
By the way, have you guys been to his restaurant?
Well, you don't see that about the 49ers, and you don't see that about
people talk about it all the time. The juicing
when they
Steelers
the always part of the
cheating Niners.
Part of that Steelers story is always that half of them were on roids.
Right,
Broncos and their cap.
Really?
Absolutely.
First of all,
it's easy because another one of them dies every other day.
None of them made it to sixty. All the times, and I never hear all that.
We've always talked about that they, even some of the players on the team admit,
they were ahead of the curve on steroids. I'm not talking about us. I'm talking about when you read about, dynasties, and you read about teams of the past and comparing teams to one another. You don't say the Steelers were great in the 70s, but they took steroids. You don't see the 49ers were great in the 90s, but
Do you hear it, Paul? Because you could watch ESPN and NFL Network all day long and talk about those teams, and they'd never mention
that.
They never mention it.
It depends what you're reading and seeing.
I'm telling you that if I hear them talking at length about the Pittsburgh Steelers of the 70s, I'm hearing steroids at some point in that conversation. To be honest with you, I don't hear people talking at length about the 70s Pittsburgh Steelers all that often. I don't hear that conversation.
They have four Americas games on the Pittsburgh Steelers, so one of those.
And you think they're going to put an American? You think they're going to put an? Wait a minute. You think they're going to put an Americas game about the 2007 Patriots and Cameragate's going to be a major part of it?
I mean, no chance on NFL
Network.
Honestly,
no chance.
Honestly,
especially if they go.
Paul, and I'm not just trying to be argumentative. If the discussion wasn't what's been wrong with those teams, I've never hear that stuff mentioned when they talk about those teams.
Hi. Well, you want me to tell you you're
and
wrong?
Paul's
I
right.
can't
it's
tell you you're wrong.
In 20 years, I disagree with Shula that people are going to say, oh, they got caught cheating. I think that's going to go away.
Well, I don't.
I don't.
I think if this is all they find, it goes away.
Yeah.
I don't.
But if they talk at length, they'll be brought up when they just list five teams of all time. No one's going to say the 2007 Patriots, but they would. But if they're analyzing, if some guy's doing like a five-page spread
of the best teams of all time, it'll be in there.
Now,
it'll be the steroids, it'll be the cheating, all of it.
I agree with Andy, Andy,
because they have done that of the great teams now, and you don't read that stuff about those teams.
See, I'm with you, Fred.
I don't see a lot of people talking about the Broncos. Patriots Football Weekly won't be writing about it in 25 years.
And if you're talking about the NFL, isn't promoting the fact that their greatest team used steroids. If you're talking about some panel show on ESPN and they're saying, you know, the 2007 Patriots up there with the greatest teams ever, well, you know, you got to talk about the 85 Bears and the Steelers of the 70s. No, I'm not expecting them to say, I can't put the Steelers of the 70s up there because
they were all on NFL films. When people are talking about these teams, how do we find out about it then, Fred, if no one's talking about it? Where have you been a part of an extended discussion about the 49ers or the Broncos?
I've never been a part of it. I've heard it.
I've heard the Broncos talk about it.
The
Broncos I wouldn't even put in this conversation because I don't think the team is worthy of being in the conversation. The Niners, you hear about that salary cap violation all the time. The Broncos, I'll agree with you. I never hear about that.
I hear more about the Niners than the Steelers. I hear both
when they're talking about the greatest.
I think we talk about it here, but I think you should hear more
about the Niners than the Steelers because the Niners actually cheated. The Steelers.
Well, the only time I heard about the Steelers thing was when the steroids thing was coming up. And there was a couple guys.
After the fact.
Yeah, it was like 30 years later, a couple guys.
They admitted it, and since then,
it's gone away. It's just that one small period when steroids were being talked about.
I think
one small period. You could any particular day you could
when
have
that
a,
story and, came out.
Which
they talked about the Steelers. When that story
you
came
think
out,
that just came out?
I said when the story came out, it was talked about, but I haven't heard
The story came out about 20 years ago.
That's my point. You're still talking about it 20 years later.
You're making my point.
No, you think it's going to go away. They're still talking about it now.
I hadn't heard it until a couple years ago.
But you heard it. That's the issue we're
talking
about
here. Yeah, because of the steroids thing that was going on in baseball and everything like that.
But there'll always be a reason why you hear it. No one's just going to stop you on the street and say, by the way, did you know the 2007 Patriots cheated?
And if somebody gets caught cheating 30 years from now, they'll
bring up
the Patriots.
Or when they're really trying to break down the greatest teams ever, they'll talk about it.
I also don't think that...
But I also think it's different because the Steelers played in a time when there wasn't ESPN, and now this is covered so much, I think more people know about it. My guess is about...
Google.
My guess is about the Steelers. I bet you your average NFL fan doesn't even know about
steroids.
That's
right. I agree with
you. You're right, Tom.
And,
that could
be true. But now you ask anybody about Spygate, everybody knows what you're talking about.
Even if you're not a football fan, you know about it.
That's apples and grapefruits.
And like I said, when I first sat down today, the media's done a very good job of turning America against America's team.
But you think
turning America against America's team. Why is everybody mad at the Cowboys? I was just wondering.
We know who the real America's team is.
Yeah.
These quarters.
I have a shirt.
The Cowboys.
These quarters.
What?
No offense, but that's their name.
All right.
You can't just take it. Make up your own new name.
So we're the Planets team.
Okay, fine.
We're the universe.
I feel better about that than stealing
everybody
one that's
hates them.
I was just going to say, so far in this show, Fred has demanded that no one will watch the Super Bowl because everybody hates them and that they're the Planets team.
Well, we're big in China. No one in China hates them.
Therefore, no matter what happens, Fred's right.
We're big in China, but Fred doesn't care about those people because they don't know what's going on, as he stated earlier in the show.
That's true.
So you're getting that? If everybody watches the Super Bowl, Fred was right, because they're the Planets team.
If the media hadn't turned people against us, we would be the universe.
It's all the media's fault.
It is.
Press record on the camera?
Eric continues his dominance, Fred. 12-2 last week.
Wow.
Fred and I, 10-4. Andy, 9-5. Tom, 8-6.
Yeah, my AFC-NFC thing took a pounding last week.
Let's see. With the spread... Eric again, 9-5.
Very good.
I was next, 8-6, and then the other three at 7-7.
Oh, 500? Nice. That's a huge week for Andy.
Big week for Andy. Overall season standings, Eric, 90-40. Followed by Fred and I at 86-44, a full four games back. That's embarrassing. Tom.
It'll get bigger, don't worry.
Tom, 84-46.
Is that what she told you?
And Andy, 79-51.
I got a little theory here of why you're the only reason who writes them down. Because you're not making these picks. You have somebody making the picks for you, somebody who knows something about football.
These are the picks I make on Sunday night when we're putting the paper together.
I'm going with the dumb luck thing, like when the girl wins the March Madness thing that's never watched a game.
Speaking of dumb luck, which you have a lot of, Tom, are you still pissed at me about
we should tell the people real quick
that it was fixed.
Despite having 60 entries in a 65 thing raffle, somehow I did not win. And Eric, another note not related to this, Eric was able to pay his rent this month. So
I bought $10, 12 tickets.
12 tickets,
for Tom.
Right.
And
now, if you had bought 15,
I can't imagine there were more than 50 tickets.
Oh,
in
by
that
the way, bucket. By the way, that Ethan character who mailed in, Gary, who wanted to contribute to Tom's thing, I put those in for him. I want to know if this guy actually sent the money to my church.
Probably not.
Well, he better pay up, or I'm coming after him. Just so he knows.
It's not a very church-like reaction.
That's okay.
Aren't you supposed to love thy brother?
What happened to God bless
you, Andy's
Ethan?
The only guy who doesn't have 80 wins.
God bless you, Andy.
That's correct, Tom. That is correct.
How far behind am I from 80 wins?
One.
Well, I'll get there this week.
Just so you know, there's someone in the 90s and you're not at 80 yet. Anyway.
So I'm one game behind per week.
With
That's
the number, Eric has taken over the lead at 66-58-6. Tom, one game back, 65-59-6. Then me, 63-61-6. This is definitely the latest in the year I've ever been over 500. I'm very proud of myself. Fred, 60-64-6. And Andy, 57-67-6.
I'm getting there.
Well, you didn't drop any games
last
week.
Picking up steam.
7-7. What you need to do is you need to be like Eric and not care.
Why do you have to harp on that still?
Because you said
Why do you have to harp on that?
Because you said it.
Week one, which
means you can take no joy from winning something that you don't care about.
He's winning now, so now he cares.
I've been winning since week two, Fred.
Now he's coloring his emails.
God, I had one bad week the first week, and
reacted
out
of
anger.
He won't talk leading up to it. He didn't care at all, but once he wins, boy, am I going to talk.
Where's that from?
A lot of jealousy in this
room.
Plus,
he spends enough time coloring the font of his email stuff.
Yeah.
And just, I don't know.
You know what that
what
is.
What are you doing over there, Fred? You want to do some more emails?
We do.
No, let's get to the picks.
All right. Jacksonville
rhymes with hay.
If we have time afterwards, we'll get to some more emails because there's some interesting thing. Don Shula is now backpedaling.
Yes.
Oh, you heard about that?
Was it Chris Ferreira? Was the lead story on ESPN.
Yeah, I don't. No. Me and Andy talked about this off the air. We don't need to get Fred in another argument. Anyway.
Why?
You don't have
no problem with what Shula said?
No, I do. I think that the Dolphins are definitely living in the past, and I've never seen an example where a team is so hell-bent on protecting their record. But I don't think he said what everybody said that he said the first time around. I don't think he's backpedaling.
Oh. Okay.
He didn't say there should be an asterisk attack, and that's what everybody is saying.
Oh. Well, somebody said, should there be one? And he said, well, you can't get away from whatever it says. He didn't say those exact words.
Right,
with the guy that said it.
But he didn't say there should be an asterisk attached to the Patriots. And that's what everybody is saying that he said.
Did the interviewer say that?
How did he say you can't get around having that attached to it, I think?
Yeah.
Is what he said.
But not an asterisk.
But
he's talking about the issue.
He's talking about the issue, not an asterisk.
Attached to this team.
In other words, he's saying that
you can't have a discussion about this team without that coming up.
Yeah. Okay. So it's an asterisk. I mean, that's what that is, right?
No, if that's what you want to call it. Running up the score, then I guess they're running up the score.
And he also said that
if you don't want to say anything bad, shut up.
But it also, well, no, he also said that it wouldn't have anything to do with 2007, but that was conveniently left out of the story. I heard the whole thing this morning.
An asterisk in my mind
said if you want to cast aspersions on the other Super Bowls,
right. And that's what
then
Brewski's
that might be
mad
fair.
About. Brewski was involved.
I understand. I'm mad. I think he's ridiculous. I think that those comments were ridiculous. I'm just saying he didn't say what everybody is saying he said. That's
okay.
All. I knew that would be an argument. That's why I would try to avoid it. Jacksonville at Tennessee. Andy, first up, Tennessee by 4.5.
At Tennessee. Now, I understand there's some rumblings. The quarterback, Garrard, might be back. But I'll take Tennessee at home. Not a big number, so I'll take them to cover. Jacksonville can't put up points. They won't get it done. Won't run the ball. Tennessee easy.
Yeah, the Titans first in rush defense. They shut down Jacksonville the first time around. Quinn Gray's been throwing bullets, but unfortunately he's been to the other
team.
I like Tennessee. I like the way they're playing. They don't blow people out, so it might be hard to cover the 4.5, but I'll take them both
ways.
I heard
Garrard might be playing this week.
Oh, my God.
Where'd you hear that? Me?
Or me?
3 seconds
or
ago?
Paul?
Well, Patriots are on a bye this week. Which means my starting fantasy quarterback, Tom Brady, is not playing, which means I have to play the Tennessee Titans' Vince Young as my starting quarterback. So I like the Titans big in this game. Very big.
Well, as long as you have good reasoning.
You know his numbers are usually like.
I know, they're horrible. That's why I need him to have
three touchdowns
have a big
and,
week.
And eight interceptions.
I have some trepidation about the spread as Tom does,
there.
But I will go with
that's
it because I think.
To being scared.
Wow. I think Quinn Gray stays in there for one more week, and if he does, I don't see the.
Throw some bullets.
The Jags putting up too many points, so I'll take Tennessee.
I'm going to take Tennessee, but this is a 3-point win in overtime, so the Jags cover.
All right. Robert,
so do we give you the win if they don't go to overtime? I mean, if you want to make such bold, but you just called glass, basically. You called glass.
Walker, glass. All right. Denver Broncos, Andy, in a tough AFC West matchup at Kansas City.
Oh, boy.
Three. Chiefs.
Chiefs by 3. Doesn't LJ have a foot problem?
He's not playing.
Sprained foot.
I'll take my Broncos, even though, boy, do they suck.
Boy, they do.
Yeah, it's in Kansas City because they never play on the road. Chiefs have never played on the road all year.
Yeah, that was the funny line Sunday night that I was calling out the picks, and Tom goes, "Jesus, the Chiefs never play any road. They like Notre Dame."
You know how I know? Because every week Capella comes up to me and goes, "Hey, we got the Chiefs again." Because at one point, him and I were the only ones picking the Chiefs in the paper, I guess, at home. Now he says everyone else has jumped on board. He's got a whole Chiefs thing. Go just ask him about it. But I'm going to go with the Chiefs at home. Cutler's a little banged up. No Larry Johnson. Priest Holmes is going to get a lot of run. The miserable game.
You know what the most entertaining part of this game will be? That little rat that rides around on the four-wheeler before the game because they have the best. Sorry, Gary. You don't even try. So they have the best game presentation in the National Football
League. Followed by Tennessee.
Now he's really mad. Oh, he'll cry.
Tennessee has
tonight.
A good one, too. They had the Brady Crunch thing, and then they had the guys on the field fighting. And
Oh, that wrestling match? Was that with the Hulk Hogan guy? Wasn't there a Hulk Hogan guy?
Yeah, that was at Tennessee.
In
my mind, that
is Cutler
been
playing?
To,
I know he's. You said he's
I think
banged
he's
up.
Playing,
he playing,
but he's banged up. That's why there's no line because of Johnson and Cutler.
Do we make? Did you make?
It's three.
A line?
Well, there's a line.
Three.
There's wasn't one in the paper.
I'm gonna go with the Chiefs both ways here.
like you said, it's a terrible game, and whether or not Cutler plays, I think, doesn't really, it's not really going to matter.
What is wrong with the Broncos?
Although it's a terrible game, but it's kind of a big one, because if the Colts beat the Chargers, then and Denver wins, they're all tied at 4-5. Yeah, so
unbelievable.
There you go.
So that's true. That's something to look for. So, but I'm going to go with the Chiefs both ways.
I'm going to take Denver, and I think that this is an ass game, but I just can't imagine that Denver is as bad as they were last week
in
Detroit.
Yeah, Gary, you said ass.
I think they're just terrible, both teams. I'm going to go with an upset, I guess. Not much of an upset, but I'll take the Broncos.
I'll take the Chiefs at home and to cover.
They could end up winning that division.
All right, speaking of bad games, Buffalo travels to Miami in one of those tough AFC East tilts.
Does Miami get off the schneid on this one?
I'll take Buffalo.
Dolphins are a home dog getting 3.
I'll take Buffalo to win. I might as well take them to cover. Big plays from Lee Evans continue. As the smart man Keyshawn Johnson told me, some teams pack it in Week 8. Miami Dolphins have packed it in.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Bills here. Not crazy about them being a favorite on the road, but I can't pick the Dolphins until I see some sign, some sort of life or something.
Your theory last, a team that tries wins or something?
A team that tries will always beat a team not trying, but it's more based on if the team that doesn't try is more talented. Remember, I left that part out. Yeah.
You did the caveat.
I was going to say thanks.
But
that was Andy Hart-esque.
I'll take the Bills in this one.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Bills both ways, too, despite the fact that J.P. Lawson is supposedly starting in this game, and I think he's about as good as Rex Grossman, which means
as
both
Ben
of them shouldn't be in the league.
Right.
But, well, Ben should be in the league.
My
I'm
theory
just not
worked
saying,
last week, yeah. Andy. That was the Bills-Cincinnati game.
Well done.
So, yeah, Miami's just too awful, and like you said, they're not playing, they're not caring. So.
He thoroughly confused me for a second. I had no idea what theory we were talking about. But I agree, and I will take Buffalo as well. I can't pick Miami or St. Louis until they win, so I won't do it. I'll take the Bills.
In Miami, I mean,
and Buffalo
they used
playing
to have
hard.
Some talent down there, but, you know, the running back's gone for the season. Zach Thomas has concussions or, you know.
Whiplash.
There's no way that you can pick Miami to win this game, so I got to go with Buffalo.
Yeah, they'll win a game, but unfortunately I'll have to suffer a loss that week in the picks.
I don't know who they're going to beat.
Who beat the Jets at home?
Do they play St. Louis?
They play the Jets.
They don't play St. Louis,
no.
Right?
No.
They play the Jets, but I even see the Jets beating them.
Oh, did you see that little Jonathan Vilma thing? A side note on the Jets.
Vilma!
He's going to maybe have that microfracture surgery.
Yeah, that's
Jonathan Vilma's career just ended.
That's the biggest surgery now in football. Everybody gets that.
It's all the rage.
All right.
Not good for, you know what it is?
They
crack little cracks to let blood seep out to try to grow cartilage and bring some cushion back to the knee.
You're trying to regenerate
it's
cartilage.
A little beyond experimental. I mean, it happens enough, but it's still not necessarily, you just get it done and you're fine. It ended Don Davis's career.
Yeah. It's what Givens had to have. That's why he's missing this whole year. Mm. This is a very interesting matchup that I don't think anybody would have thought, certainly not after week one. Cleveland at Pittsburgh. Steelers, big favorites, 9.5.
Mm. Big number for my Steelers.
Cleveland wins this game. Speaking of that standing stuff, they'd be tied, right?
With Pittsburgh?
Pittsburgh and Cleveland would be tied if Cleveland wins this game.
Yep. Cleveland won this game, they'd be tied, but they won't. Because the Steelers are going to win and cover. Steelers building some momentum here. Defensive Player of the Year candidate James Harrison continues to roll. Ben Roethlisberger will put up some points as long as he's not an idiot. And they win easy.
Just so you know.
I like the Steelers to win, but I'm going to take the Browns to cover this line. I think the Steelers had a very emotional game against the Ravens on Monday Night Football, a team they truly hate. I know the Browns Steelers game is supposed to be a huge rivalry, but right now I think the Steelers hate the Ravens a little more. The Browns are playing good football. I think they keep this game close, but the Steelers, I'm going to take them to win.
I'm going to agree with you, Tom. I'm going to go with the Steelers and Ben Worthless Hot Dog to win this game, but I'm going to take Cleveland.
Is that why you like
cover.
Him? Because he's cocky? I mean, you dislike him because he's cocky?
Because
my barber actually said that to me. Long conversation while I was getting my hair done. He said, that guy from Pittsburgh, the quarterback, he's very unlikable.
See, Fred, another
he
guy.
He is unlikable.
See,
another
I find
guy,
that.
Another
I find
guy
him,
with
I find
a yappy barber, Fred.
Oh, my barber, nonstop.
Fred is a trance.
Fred, yeah.
And he's going to say,
I was gonna
Roethlisberger,
go.
He's
no,
unlikable.
He's
kind of
cocky, huh? I'm going to agree with Tom and Eric. I think Pittsburgh wins the game. but I'm gonna take those 9.5 points. I think that's too much. The Browns have played well.
You want to take that, Fred?
Romeo.
Fred apparently agrees.
Has Romeo done enough?
Very.
Has Romeo done enough so
I
far?
So.
You think just to save his job?
Yeah, I think
they
so.
Win 8 games.
So. Question is, what are they gonna do? A quarterback?
Yeah, that.
Well, I think you stay with this guy until he proves that he can't do it.
Give him the high tender.
Yep.
Oh, is he a restricted free agent already? Yeah. This is his third year? I thought it was only his second year. I
restricted
thought he was a rookie
free agent
third
this year, so you got to give him the high tender to hold on to him.
That's tough.
See what he can do next year and then move on.
I'm going to agree with Paul. And do you think the Steelers are missing Joey Porter?
No.
No. He's
not
awful.
Jesus.
He's a big mouth.
So you're taking Cleveland to cover?
I'm taking Cleveland to cover, yep.
Where's our food?
All right. St. Louis travels to the resurgent New Orleans Saints, where the Saints were the biggest favorite of the week, 11.5.
All of a sudden, the Saints, I got to lay 11.5, huh?
Four in a row.
I'll take the Saints lumber. Because the Rams stink, and I guess I'll take them to cover because they can put up some points, and I'll assume they're going to put up some points against a bad defense.
Yeah, I was extremely impressed with the Saints last week. I thought Jacksonville would really lay it on them, but they came out and they just bombed Jacksonville. But there's only a few teams I'm laying 11.5 with, and one of them in New Orleans. So I'll take the Saints to win, and I'll take the Rams to put up at least some kind of effort, maybe.
Yeah, I was impressed by Drew Brees' performance, putting up all those points and all that yardage in the first half. But I kind of agree with Tom. I don't see them doing that 2 weeks in a row, and giving them that many points is too much. So I'll take them to win. Take the Rams to cover.
People are right that emailed in. You really just do take Tom's picks. You just copy.
The boys, the Rams, you know, Jackson, Bulger,
so.
They're all playing. Yeah. I got to take the points then. I think New Orleans could put up every bit as much offense as they did last week, but that defense doesn't scare me.
Well, you know, they
me.
Have Kevin Casavaron, whatever that safety's
name. Case Verhaan. I'm going to take the Saints.
Shea Caldwell last year.
I'm going to take the Saints, but I'm going to take the Rams to cover because I just don't think the Saints defense is capable of laying 11.5 to anybody. And as long as the Rams have enough guys healthy, I think they find a way to score some points.
Yeah, I'll go the same way. Take the Rams to cover, Saints to
big
win.
Big week for Andy coming up. I sense a lot of picks that are different of mine.
So far,
it's funny how you look at that still optimistically.
Right. obviously, it's been that way
that's
all
so
along.
That's so cute how you think you have a chance.
Although I will say that you're due.
I am due.
All right.
All right. Next game is, Atlanta Falcons travel to Carolina. Two bad teams playing.
Sure it's not Arizona?
Panthers by 4. Yeah, I'm sure
Panthers
it's not Arizona.
Panthers by 4. Old man and Fred Kirsch look alike. Vinny Testaverde apparently is going to limp back
Fred
from Kirsch that.
Fred Kirsch look alike.
They both have bad Achilles.
Act alike.
They both have bad Achilles. They're both in their mid-40s. They're both not aging well at this point.
You have a bad Achilles, Fred?
Watch him when he limps up to this. Up to this office.
I'll take the Panthers because I have no interest in touching anything that has a Falcons logo on it, including the team.
I'll just take the Panthers because they're at home.
Yeah. Got to do that. Panthers both ways.
Testaverde's playing in this game?
That's what I heard.
He could start.
I'm going to take the Panthers to win. I'll take the 4 points. I'll take the Falcons to cover.
I'll take the Panthers both ways.
All right.
There's that dead air that always goes after Fred's pick.
Because he never says anything, and I'm not ready yet. Anyway, Philadelphia will travel to Washington for one of those coma-inducing NFC North games. Sorry, Tom. NFC East, rather. Cowboys aren't involved in.
There's another NFC East game this week that's pretty big.
Well, I said the Cowboys weren't involved in. Redskins by 3.
Redskins by 3. I will take the Redskins to win, and it's going to be a push. They'll win 3-0. I'll take the Eagles.
Really?
I got nothing.
You got nothing?
I don't want you ever making fun of Fred anymore for this little favorite underdog.
I don't know anything about these two teams.
But you do
I don't
with
watch
spread
games,
just
don't
Paul. Work. It's not who you pick. It's like
going to be a push.
The
though.
3-point spread. Like how many games? Like,
I'm going for
land
the push
on two
here.
Or one.
I'm going for the push.
It doesn't matter who you pick then.
I like the Redskins.
Good point.
Big in this game. I think they'll blitz McNabb, and this will be his last game as a starter.
It's not his fault.
You should get an extra point if you say push and you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. I like push. The Redskins' defense in this game, so I'll take that.
I'll tell you what, Andy. I'll give you a win if they push.
Can I have 5 if I get a push?
I'm not giving them a win because I'll definitely land on 3.
I'll give him a win if
I was surprised the Redskins had
Did
to go
you pick Washington both sides there?
Yeah.
Hi-ho. Sorry. Go ahead, Eric.
Thanks for paying attention.
Why don't you shut up?
No one cares. You know, remember, you didn't care. Well, we don't care.
Yeah, simmer down. I was surprised to see the Redskins had to go into overtime to beat the Jets last week. That was I didn't expect that.
Especially piling up all the offense that they did. You wouldn't think they would have had to.
Well, see, what happens is you got to. What happens is Mangini does everything Belichick does. He watches the game, and then he does exactly. He had the blueprint.
But I'm not Bill Belichick.
Just didn't have the players.
Didn't the Patriots win 52-7?
No, but
Clinton,
for the
Clinton
Jets.
Clinton Portis ran for 196 yards.
But for the Jets,
that's were running
pretty
it
good.
Up at the end.
That's pretty good for the Jets to do what they did because they followed the Patriots' lead.
All right.
So coming,
go ahead.
So yeah, coming
sometimes,
off.
Sometimes you swing and miss, Fred. What are you going to do?
So last week I said they were going to win big over the Jets. I'll say they're going to win big again this week over the Eagles. I was wrong last week, although they did win, but not as big as I thought. They're going to win big this week. McNabb is, like Tom said, sorry to agree with him again. But I think this might be McNabb's last week as a starter.
Yeah, I will not take the
off
Eagles. I will not take the Eagles the rest of the year.
He's lasted far longer than he should have.
I think that's right now they're playing like one of the worst teams in football. I don't think there's a lot of talent there. Yeah. And I think they deceived themselves into thinking that they're still a contender. They're not.
Plus, Andy Reid.
It wasn't long ago that every year the Eagles would be in that NFC Championship game.
And, but, you got to think that whole problem with Andy Reid and his kids has got to be having some sort of effect on him and his coaching.
Tom's right. That one could have gone one or two ways, and we've seen the way it went.
Well,
down,
I think,
not
I think
up.
The,
and we all
I
know it's not all McNabb's fault.
I think the
just
biggest
ask
effect
him.
Was on the players in the Eagles because Reed's son was their dealer. So now,
wow,
once again, they can't all be home runs, guys. just can't all be home runs.
Or in any way appropriate.
I'm taking Washington, Fred.
You're going to take Washington?
Yeah.
Me too. All right.
Once again. Minnesota is at Green Bay, and may I reiterate that Adrian Peterson is currently the best running back in football. I don't want to say that, Mr. Obvious, so Andy yells at me again like he did yesterday. But let's see, Minnesota by 5.5.
Next week when he piles up another 200.
I just can't say that I was wrong enough about Adrian Peterson, even though I loved Adrian Peterson coming out of college. He is far, far better than Reggie Bush.
Indeed.
Did you think that when they were coming out of college?
Oh, boy.
No. That's why I'm saying I was wrong.
I'll take the Packers to win because they've been winning, and it seems pretty easy when you look at the...
What's the number again?
Well, they
don't take Green Bay because they've been winning.
I have some logic here. They don't run the ball to win. They throw it. The Vikings have a good run defense, so that doesn't affect the Packers. The Vikings are one-dimensional offensively. I'm going to say that they can make a couple plays and not give up 296 yards on the ground, and if they do that, they win. It seems like one of those games that on paper is so easy, so it won't play out any way I think. But
therein lies
Packers
the problem
win.
With my knockout pick last week with San Diego. But
what's the number again?
5.5.
Yeah, I agree with Andy on this one. I still think LT is the best running back in football, but I think Peterson is obviously amazing. But I think you're right here, Andy. That I just to me the Packers are due to whoop somebody, and the Vikings are due to get whooped.
Right.
Because even against the Cowboys, the Vikings were in that game the whole way, and the Vikings are due to get beat 41-7 by the way they play. And I'm going to say that this is the week that I think the Packers blow them out, but I could also see it going the division.
Are you sold on the Packers?
I think the Vikings are due to get blown out. I mean, like Andy said, they hand the ball up
right
up the middle. They can't stop the pass. It's just you'd think they'd get. They're always in games. I got to give it to them, but I think they get blown out this week.
All right. Well, I disagree with you, Tom. I think the Packers are the ones who are due to get blown out.
Oh, okay.
But for some reason, I don't think that's going to happen this week. So they're going to pull another one out.
That's a good point, Eric.
So I'm going to take the Packers both ways.
Wow.
So I hate
you
to do it. I hate
agree
to do it.
With each other or
no, in summation, he disagrees with Tom, but yet he took his pick.
Rubbing his legs. What
that's
are you
a good
doing?
Point, Eric. That's
already,
a good point,
Jeff.
Eric. That's a good point, Eric. That's
all
a
right,
good point,
Gary.
Eric.
I am gonna agree with Andy and all his reasons with why Green Bay will win this game. I am not totally sold, Fred, to answer your question on the Packers, but when you play in the NFC, more often than not, you don't have to be that good. You can just win. And I think the Packers will do that to Minnesota. Have the Packers played the Detroit yet?
Yeah, they beat them.
That was one of Detroit's losses. They have two losses, right? I know they lost to to Washington.
Washington and Philly.
No, Detroit played
and
Minnesota.
Philly. Yeah, Detroit hasn't lost to Green Bay.
No, they haven't played yet.
They must not
do they play on Thanksgiving?
I was thinking Minnesota. Yes, they do.
Yeah.
So I'm going to take Green Bay to cover as well, Fred.
Boy, the Packers play the Lions on
Thanksgiving.
Yes.
Holy
Brett
ever see that
Favre, BJ's
hardly ever
right
see that
matchup
on Thanksgiving.
Brett Favre and Tony Romo.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm, you know, I don't know enough about this Minnesota team other than that
Football.
Peterson has been, you know, lights out.
In the blank.
That's all you need to know. That's all they got.
Well, wait a minute.
They have no quarterback play at all.
What's the record?
I just don't understand.
What's the record?
I guess.
No, Eric's actually winning, so it goes in inverse order of football knowledge apparently around here.
So jealous. It's sickening.
It's
really bitter.
Who do you like?
Lucky.
Fred? I'm going to have to go with Minnesota in this game.
For the win?
For the win.
Okay.
I can't believe I'm losing to this guy.
It's true.
All right. We'll go back to the AFC for this one. Cincinnati travels to Baltimore. Two teams spinning out of control in the wrong direction. Baltimore by four.
Is this guy Elliot Gould's son, the guy on TV right now? Doesn't he look like Elliot Gould?
We're on the radio. No one can see him. No one knows who Elliot
Gould
is.
His name's Jake Crawford.
Jake Crawford.
I'm going to go with no.
Well, maybe his mother is different. I don't know.
He does bear a slight resemblance.
Maybe it's a TV
But
name.
If his dad was Elliot Gould.
Doesn't but he really might not live with his dad.
It doesn't matter because a lot of the moms use their name now. Yeah. So.
Especially in show business.
I get asked now, who the hell is Elliot Gould?
Friends. Oh, for God's sake. He's on Friends. He's Monica which McCall's
he's
father.
He's comparing him to something that happened on Friends. Can you believe
Well, he
that,
was
Paul?
Best known for his role in MASH, the movie.
I'm talking something Andy would know. You know Monica?
I don't think I've seen either.
Monica and Ross's dad on Friends?
Yeah, I don't
he's
think
right.
so.
No, I know he's right, but I'm just saying that he has to make a reference to Friends.
Who do you like?
Right.
Do you like the...
what was the game?
Cincinnati and Baltimore. Baltimore's
two terrible teams. Baltimore by four in Baltimore. I'll just go with my little theory here that eventually the Bengals will put up enough points to beat a bad, bad team that can't put up any.
I'm going to listen to Ray Lewis. He told me wait till they get to Baltimore, these the division teams. So I just think I'm picking against the Bengals every week. I thought they packed it in right after the Patriot game, and obviously they've shown the only team they beat was the team that packed it in worse than them, the Jets.
Yeah.
So I think Baltimore rolls in this game.
Yep, coming off a pounding by Pittsburgh.
Although they stink, by the way.
They do, but coming off that pounding by Pittsburgh, I think they're going to take it out on Cincinnati, who, like you said, is not – they packed it in like the Dolphins did a few weeks ago. So
that's a good point, Eric.
Use your ass thing again. This is an ass
game. It is another ass game. I'm going to take Baltimore to win it. I'm going to take the 4 points again. I'll see if I can get a field goal loss. I'll take the points with Cincinnati. But I don't think the Ravens have shown any signs of not throwing it in any more than Cincinnati has. That performance Monday night was abysmal. They didn't want to be there. The weather, it was like they were cold and wet and didn't want to be there. You could see it on their faces. Just an embarrassing show all around.
I really think that the Steelers took their will away.
And I also read, you know, in those whispers that they have in the sporting news there, or Pro Football Weekly, whatever it was, a Pro Football Weekly that has the big page with all the whispers.
Yeah,
and the,
what
you
we're
know,
hearing.
The whole thing was all about how they haven't turned, despite the struggles of the Baltimore offense, they haven't turned, the defense hasn't turned on them yet. And all of a sudden, the very next game, you see Ray Lewis with a ridiculous diatribe about how the offense put him in bad spots and, you know, shamefully trying
really
to explain
is.
To me how
you remember when I argued that on our PFW and
I don't mean like
was it?
I just mean like
point counterpoint. Richard Seymour got all mad at me because I said Ray Lewis was a bad guy.
I think
he paints himself as such
a
leader, you know. But when
that
it's time
it.
To lead, he's pointing fingers. He's just the opposite of what he wants people to think he is.
But I was most offended by
him
trying to tell us that the defense played well in the second half. Roethlisberger did what he does to everybody else. He's throwing the ball all over the place. 5 touchdowns in the first half. They completely sat on the ball the entire second half, and Ray Lewis is telling us how they shut him down in the second half.
He wasn't playing the Patriots.
It was
like
embarrassing.
They were trying to keep scoring.
It was absolutely embarrassing that you would even bring that up. But anyway, I'll take the Ravens to win the game because Cincinnati stinks.
I have seen Elliot Gould before.
And I'll take Cincinnati to cover.
I will take same thing, Cincinnati to cover.
Apparently he was in Ocean's
Baltimore
11.
To win.
Yes, he was.
Oh, that's right. Yes, he was in that movie.
Let's see.
Still in it?
Here's one of Tom's favorites when the interconference clashes. Chicago travels to Oakland, where the Raiders are a home dog getting 3.5.
I would just like to point out that I said Lane Kiffin was a moron long, long ago. And then I read this week that he's going to challenge his special teams unit by kicking the ball right at Devin Hester and, quote, challenging him. Good luck. You lose. I'll take the Bears.
The Raiders are garbage. I keep taking them every week at home against bad teams, and they can't win. So I'll take the Bears here.
What about
that
your
no
AFC,
chance
NFC
is looking
thing.
Pretty good now, huh? No mm-hmm. chance.
Give
guy wants
that
to
AFC,
kick
NFC
to Devin.
No, I don't give up. They have to
well,
be
I
of
think
equal.
The team stinks.
They have to be of equal talent. And the other thing is, it's more effective, although it wasn't last week, when the AFC team's on the road. because they're usually better than the NFC team and sometimes they're getting points, although last week they all got killed. But I think the Bears are much better than the Raiders, so it doesn't play in there.
I don't think they're that much better, but the Raiders are just – I don't see them – I have a hard time seeing them win another game this year, so I'm going to go with...
This could be another disagreement, but I'm going to take the pick.
They're not that much better, but the Raiders are going to lose every game.
So I'm going to go with the Bears, both.
Yeah, I'm glad that you told me that little nugget about Devin Hester, Andy. I didn't know that. I hadn't seen that link.
Now, maybe he's that's pulling the wool over their eyes or something. That's
another example how Andy does all this research during the week that we're not privy to, Tom.
Yeah, and his research at the Combine is really paying off.
But he doesn't pay attention to any other games.
I was going to take Chicago to win the game, but I was going to take the 3.5. But if they're going to kick the ball to Hester, that means – because I think the Bears are a bad favorite because I don't think they score enough points, but – if they're going to kick
it
to Hester.
Get three touchdowns from Hester.
Yeah. I mean, that's enough points to cover right there. So I'll take Chicago both ways.
Me too. But isn't it just sad? Isn't it just sad how many of these games is just bad teams?
Bad league
right
now,
really
Fred.
Sad.
We got a good one coming up, Fred.
I think there are 28 bad teams in the league. Yeah. I mean, I'm not even exaggerating.
So does that devalue what the Patriots are doing and may do historically?
You
can only beat who's in front of you.
And they played all the good teams.
Teams are so bad because the Patriots have all the good players.
A lot of people say that the Miami Dolphins undefeated team. It was a weak schedule.
And
it was.
Right.
But you can only
beat
a weak
league.
No one looks back on it.
No one says that.
No one looks back on it and says they didn't beat anybody.
That's true.
And they did have to go on the road in the AFC Championship game because of another ridiculous NFL.
Yeah, I remember when I researched something like that, and I was like, well, this must be a typo on the road.
They used to alternate the sites for that, and it didn't make any sense. Anyway, is Tom's big game the is that the Sunday night? Is it the Sunday night game?
No, 4:15.
4:15. That's much better because I don't really have any interest in watching the Sunday night game.
Gary, you got the Fox.
The Colts
music?
Are the Sunday night game.
You know what I don't like?
The Cowboys are on Sunday night.
I don't
night
like
all
the NFL on
Red
NBC.
Red Queen.
See, I don't really. See
I don't
it
like
that
the cut
anymore.
Of NBC's jib.
Look at me.
I'm not a
that's
big.
That's NBC. I want Fox.
It's Sunday night football.
No,
he
it's said
no,
four,
but
it's
we're on a 4:15 game. Fox. We're on a Fox. He's all mad now.
You're not even listening to the show.
Gary, do you have the robot that
me
walks
too.
Out?
Of all people, not listening to the show. All right, Dallas is going to the Meadowlands to face the Giants. This was a great week one game, high scoring. Giants, a home dog, getting 1.5.
Yeah, I'll take the Cowboys. I think they're a pretty good football team. Not sold on the Giants.
That's it.
That's all I got.
Oh, your Fox game?
This is
Tom Coughlin didn't say what he was going to do on special teams.
This is obviously a big one in the Okasali household. We got the bye week. I'll be sitting there swearing and yelling at the TV.
Your father will be calling.
Yeah, so I hate the Giants. You know, this is a big one in the NFC East, but I got to go with who I think is going to win here, and I think the Giants are going to win.
Unbelievable.
I'm impressed with the way they're playing.
Psychology.
No, it's not. I'm just telling you who I think. I hope I'm wrong. I hope the Cowboys win.
It's reverse psychology.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is. You don't really think the Giants are going to beat
Holy Christ. It's a one-point spread. You make it sound like I'm...
Yeah, but come on.
Well, good news, Tom. You're going to be wrong.
I'm not done.
Oh, sorry.
That's a good point, Eric.
I'm picking who I think's going to win. I'm not you. I'm not a homer. I think the Cowboys are going on the road for their second straight NFC East game. They played Monday night at Philadelphia. The Giants had a bye week. Everything's pointing to the Giants winning this game. I still think the Cowboys could win the division, but I think they get tripped up here.
I don't think anything's pointing to them winning this game. I think you're going to be glad that you're wrong because the Cowboys are going to go there and they're going to whip up on the Giants, who historically give up in the second half of Tom Coughlin's season. So, well, blow up. I mean, 10 points or more.
Yeah, but they don't have Tiki anymore, so I don't think they'll give up.
They still have Strahan, and he likes to give up.
Yeah, that's true.
So,
but
I'm
Tiki usually, this is when he starts causing trouble.
Although I do have Plaxico Burress on my fantasy team, so he'll blow up a little bit, but not enough to overcome that. So Cowboys, both ways.
This is a tough game. I'm going to take Dallas, but
I'm not real confident about it. We really don't know yet how good the Giants are.
I think the Giants are pretty good, and I think the defense is a lot better than it was in that week one game. I think their pressure on the passer has been impressive.
And that's why I like them here.
I think they
pressure Romo into mistakes.
Yeah, but you got Marion Barber.
I'm going to take Dallas to win the game, but I'm not.
Orange Julius Jones.
I am not going to be surprised if Tom ends up being correct.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Cowboys. I thought that last week would be the big upset. It was my upset special of the week. I was absolutely wrong. Eagles couldn't be any worse. I think the Cowboys are the best team in the NFC.
I do too. So I'm sorry.
I think there's a big mismatch there. Watch Umanura on Flozell Adams. Right around the end.
Not so fast, my friend.
Detroit. Why is this game down here? This is another 4 o'clock game after that, Giant. Detroit is at Arizona, Andy, where the Cardinals are favored by 1.
I smell a rat.
I'll take the...
right now, that red flag is going like this for this game.
Now, what does that mean? Should I not pick the Lions?
I'm just saying, why are the Lions underdogs?
I'm going to take it. Generally, I see those red flag games, I fall into it anyway. But that's a red flag spread.
Okay,
something
well,
that
I'll
they know.
Ignore the red flag and take the Lions. I like what they're doing.
This is definitely a red flag. I'm going to take the Lions only for one reason. Because I think, and I've said this since 2000, I don't think Kurt Warner can play football in this league. I think it's a joke that these teams keep getting him and trying to make him play football in this league. He's a perfect backup and nothing more. And like Paul said, he went 10 for 30 last week. Those are like third-team quarterback numbers. That's
you don't
terrible.
See that in the NFL very often, 10 for 30.
So I think the Lions' defense, you know, with a big Sean Rodgers, might get another one. Might get another one up on the
board. Was that Sean Rodgers that did that?
Yeah,
I think so.
Might get another one up on the board there. So, yeah. This is obviously a trap, and Vegas is going to clean up on it, but I'm going to go with the Lions.
I like what the Lions are doing. I like what Rod Marinelli's doing. He's, you know, instilled some confidence in this team finally. John Kitna's playing well. My hopes for Arizona aren't going to come true this year. They're playing horribly, so I got to go with the Lions. I don't understand that number, though.
What were your hopes for Arizona?
That they would at least, you know, maybe make the playoffs.
Why did you give a, quote, rat's ass?
Well, it's just you're thinking of a team that could surprise. I kind of agree with them. I thought that Arizona had a chance in a bad division.
I thought San Francisco.
Well, I think that both of those teams might have had a chance had they not been hit at quarterback with injuries.
As you can tell by the number of times I quote Keyshawn, when I actually do watch something, I put it away to use in these wasted times. He really likes Rod Marinelli from his time in Tampa, so I'm rooting for Rod Marinelli even more now.
The comical, the Niners starting guard is now out for the season. Like, we all knew this was going to happen on draft day, but call off the dog.
Right. It's like Mike Nolan is standing on a mountaintop saying, Bill, we're going to have
It'll
a top
be
five
a top
pick.
Five or leave us alone.
Just leave us alone.
He's got, you know, 31 voodoo dolls in his office and just picks out the 49ers.
I don't know if you heard this weekend, but the ESPN was throwing out there that Jerry Jones is really in love with Darren McFadden.
Oh, yeah.
And that he might want to trade up with the Patriots to get that pick, so we might end up getting the two first rounders after all. So
we've already talked.
Tom and I talked about it. We'll waste our entire time at the combine looking at
linebackers,
top 8 picks, top 10 picks, and then we'll be picking 20 whatever and 20 whatever.
I'm going to be very disappointed if that happens.
I will.
Although
be too.
Cleveland won't be that far down.
You don't go to the combine and waste your time.
They might make the playoffs.
Will Cleveland be that far
down? They might make the playoffs.
They win 8 or 9 games. Yeah, you're in that 18 to 20 range here.
Certainly not a elite pick.
I'm going to take Detroit as well and fall right into the Vegas trap. I just think they're a better team, and I can't understand why they're only why they're underdogs in this game.
I'll go with Detroit.
Detroit. Where's the food?
Yeah. I guess we're not getting it.
Evidently,
that guy was an FRAU fraud.
FRAU fraud. I like to go with the FROD fraud myself.
Anyway,
here's a good game on Sunday night. We actually have a good game, although I can't stand watching the games on NBC, Fred.
NBC.
You don't like NBC?
No, I don't like the games on NBC.
No?
No. It's just like I don't really like watching them on Fox.
Well, that's half the games. Right
Paul
there.
Doesn't like anything.
No, I like them on CBS.
That's
I think
it?
They're the only ones that do
you
it
like
right.
You like Nance and Sims? You
like those? I like them, but I think they do it right. I don't mind the
Fox
games when the Troy Aikman ones, because I think Troy Aikman
Gus
knows
Johnson?
What he's talking about.
Awful. Gus Johnson?
Awful. He's a
I like
CBS
the
guy.
Robot that walks out on Fox during like those little commercial roll-ins
like
that like shakes its arms like it's getting ready to hit
too
somebody.
Many
I don't know why
whistles.
They do that, though. That's to me, they don't need to do that.
Indy is at San Diego. See if the Colts can bounce back after what had to be a crushing loss for them. They probably feel like they kicked that one away. Chargers getting 3.5 at home.
I'll take the Colts because I was impressed with the way they played against these New England Patriots and thoroughly unimpressed with the Chargers getting it handed to them by a one-trick pony Vikings team. So I'll just go with my feelings of late on those two squads.
Yeah, I have no opinion on this game. I have no idea how it's going to go. It's setting up perfectly for a Chargers win because they got beat at Minnesota, probably looking ahead a little bit. The Colts coming off that physical game with the Patriots. They're beat up. But I'm going to try to middle this one and get the Colts to win and the Chargers to cover.
Wow. Well, yeah, the Chargers have been the Jekyll and Hyde team, especially with Norv Turner as their coach. You knew that was going to happen eventually. But, unimpressed with the way they played last week. You know, the Colts obviously played well last week. Could have won that game. I see the Colts beating up on the Chargers. I don't think it's going to be that close either.
Okay.
I think this is a tough one to call. I'm going to take the Colts. I think if it's close, San Diego wins it. So I'm not going to take the point. I think Indy will find a way to bounce back. But I think that could be one of those games that takes you that emotional hangover can take you a week. And San Diego coming home after that loss, they have to win.
Yep.
So I think San Diego, all signs, this is one of those, Tom, you know, all signs point to one thing, but I'm going to take the other because I think Indy's a better team, but I'm not feeling real good about it.
Well, I think, you know, there's going to be an experienced referee crew. They won't be able to pipe music in. I got to take this. I'm going to take the charges for the upset.
Two weeks in a row.
Finally had one that you know, at least you got it to the warning track anyway.
Two losses in a row for the Colts, huh?
Yep.
It's big, Fred. It's big.
All right, final game of the week, and this is another one of those great Monday night matchups. San Francisco at Seattle.
Seattle.
10. Seattle by 10.
Seattle. Deion Branch, 2 touchdowns, 155 yards receiving.
Steven back?
I don't know. Keyshawn didn't talk about that Monday night.
Why are you in love with Keyshawn Johnson?
I like what
he's
does.
He's good.
He does a good job. He took shots at Sean Alexander, and I enjoyed every minute of it.
I'll take Seattle to win, but again, that's not a team I'm ready to lay 10 points with, so I'll take San Francisco with the points just on principle.
Wow. That is a lot of points. Well, I picked the Seahawks in the paper, so I'll go with them to win.
Plus, you read a great feature about Matt Hasselbeck's mom.
I did. That was a good feature. I don't remember who wrote it, but it was someone from the Globe. It was a very good feature about her interacting with the Patriots. Yeah, okay. Yeah, you don't care.
Nope. Well, we're waiting.
I'll take the Niners to cover. I don't like doing this. That's 3 covers for me. That's very rare.
You don't like covers?
Yeah. You don't like teams that cover?
No. I usually don't. I usually pick one at maybe 2 covers a week. I got 3 this week.
He's got the record.
Yeah.
What can you say?
Yeah, you can't talk, buddy boy.
1 week, you just went by the regular number. You didn't pick the against the spread, my friend.
And I'm like two games behind you. And you're only 1 game behind.
That's
correct.
Okay. Still ahead of you.
Mouth.
Still ahead of you.
Your overall lead.
I will take the Seahawks, and I'll take the points with the Niners to cover as well.
I'll take the Seahawks both ways.
Good call, Fred.
All right, Fred, that wraps up the picks for this week.
And that's going to wrap up the show for this week. We will see you tomorrow. It's Friday, and Felger will probably be here.
That's going to wrap up the show for this week, but we'll see you tomorrow.